talked about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh, sh**. We're gonna do this.
Yeah.
We're gonna do this even though we know there is only one way this ends. Whether in a week or 20 years, there is horrible sadness and pain coming, and we're inviting it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I've seen a lot of people on the internet say, Joe, I'm going to write you in for president. And I'll tell you people something. I don't know about politics, and if you want to write me in as president, I'll guarantee goddamn tell you the first thing I'm going to do when I get in that Oval Office is, you know that pen that they sign all them bills with? That motherfucker's going in the trash.
Yo, it's October, and I don't have any two eyeballs. Can I get some two eyeballs, please? Hey, Steve.
And now.
Two eyeballs, 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 eyeballs.
Our feature presentation.
Pick me out to the ball.
Right.
Take me out to the ball.
What?
I don't care if I'm.
What? Where'd you go?
Just my ball.
Never come back, car is root. Hood root for the Cubbies. Yeah! Don't win, it's a shame. Why is one? No! Three strikes, you're out at the ball game. Let's go, Cubbies!
You think Scottie Pippen turned away from the mic and said, nailed it.
Absolutely.
I heard Jim Rome talking yesterday about this, and he said, everybody's just guessing, but he said, if Scottie Pippen is drunk, you know, I don't know, maybe let him know ahead of time. Give him a heads up.
Right?
Before they hand you the microphone. I mean, he very well could have been sounding like that.
Sure.
I apologize for all the bad things I've said about Biz Markie over the years.
Right.
He is great.
He is a songbird.
He really is.
Yes.
Now that we've heard how it can actually sound. So, yeah. Good job, Buster.
So good.
Is this a new Halloween classic?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Take me out to the ball. Hey, take me out to the ball. I don't care if I.
What about Cracker Jacks? What about my Cracker Jacks?
Do you think a lever?
Never come back, or it's root. Hoot, root for the.
Hey, we need to play this every day that there's a World Series game.
Agreed.
We don't win, it's
that means in the offseason, what do we have?
Why is one? No! Three strikes, you're out at the
old
ball
right.
Yep.
Game. Let's go, Cubbies!
Scottie Pippen.
Yep.
Hey, still no drugs for me.
Oh, man.
Didn't go to a doctor.
Excellent.
Did go to a chiropractor. Well, that's what I need is that's what I need is a chiropractor. Because it's, what is it called? It's the sacrum something or other that gets out of whack?
Sacrum. Down by your tailbone, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening. For folks who did not hear yesterday's show, I'm in excruciating pain.
Being injured is B-hole.
The kind of B-hole's fine.
I think so.
The B-hole had a photo shoot over the weekend. It looks great.
Okay, good.
But it's the kind of thing that just makes your whole body, tense up and it's hard to breathe and it just hurts in your chest and you can't eat and it's all of that. So I once again, I want to remind you, I am the healthiest man alive.
Right, sure.
But I wanted to run this by you because I went in and the first thing he did was he laid me down on a table.
Go on.
And he said, wow, your legs are way out of whack. One of them is way, way longer than the other one. And I said, is that normal? And he said,
what? Why would that ever be normal?
Well, I didn't know,
is that the way everybody is?
I thought it might be like
That's
girls.
That's why I've been limping.
Because, girls always say, like, one boob is bigger than the other. So I thought maybe it was
it's
the case with
legs,
too. So anyway, so he says to me, he says, no, it means your hip is out of alignment. Your hip's all honked up. So we need to work on that. So apparently he said the left hip is out of whack. not a medical term, and that's what's causing the problem on the right side and whatever is going on over there.
So did he crack it back into place?
He didn't do it anything like that. He did it was more of a gentle adjustment. I don't know. I know there are two types of chiropractors you can go to, the type that do that kind of jerk thing that's terrifying because you're afraid they're going to break your neck.
Right.
And then there's the other ones who are a little gentler, and he was a little gentler. I hope that is what I need. But
it
anyway.
Sounds like maybe you need it a little harsher.
Yeah,
maybe. If you're still in that much pain.
So he worked on that, and then he did some other stuff, and he put me on, and I'd never seen this in a chiropractor's office before. He put me on a table, but yeah. I didn't have to lay down on the table. It was one of those that's on a spring or something like that. So you stand up against the table, and then it lowers itself
like
down.
Like Frankenstein.
Yes, like Frankenstein's monster, yes.
Did he take off his pants at any point?
He did not.
Oh.
He did not. Seemed very legitimate. But here's the reason I wanted to bring it up, though, and this was the strangest thing walking out of there, is as I'm putting my stuff, back in my pants, as I'm leaving.
Nope, right?
Nope.
You were putting your stuff back in your pants?
Right, because you take out your keys and your phone, your wallet, and things like that when you get on the table. Okay?
Oh, I see. Okay.
So then he looks at me and he says, "You're not going to sit on that wallet, are you?" And I said, "Well, yeah, you put your wallet in your back pocket like you do." And he said, "That's probably what's causing this problem long term. Bigly, that's probably what's causing this problem."
What? There's no way sitting on a wallet can cause.
How much money is in his wallet?
Right?
No,
it's thick.
Is your wallet like 12 inches thick?
No, it's not at all.
But I mean, is his wallet code?
Can't wrap it around.
You know that I have no. It's not money. I have no money. But. You have credit cards, and you have supermarket discount cards, you have punch cards, and you have stuff in your wallet. So anyway, so he told me,
okay, just so you guys know, as we go throughout the day today, when you hear a noise like that, it's because Bean feels a shock and almost falls to the ground in pain.
Yes,
that is accurate.
And it happens pretty much all the time now.
Yes.
And it sucks for him, but it's...
Hilarious
for you.
I get it.
Yeah. Okay,
did he help in any way yesterday?
Well, hold on. Let me finish this thought. So he says if you sit on that wallet, he says you're making – that's what's causing your hips, he says, to get out of whack is because one of them is half an inch lower than the other one all the time that you're sitting, if you're sitting on your wallet. Now, have you ever heard anything like that before?
No.
No. And how often are you sitting on your wallet? I'd say 10% of the day,
I would
if
say,
that.
Yeah, because you don't put it in your pocket when you're home. It's really only
just
when you're
in your pajamas.
Driving.
You just always have your wallet.
Night. You never know when you need to tip the maid. No, so it's just when you're driving.
Nope. You said tip the maid.
I heard it.
That had to be
a code. To answer your question, Allie, no. He said that what he was doing yesterday was the setup for what he will do today, which is the more specific manual stimulation of that area. So I have an appointment right after the show
I'm
today.
I'm out of porn beds. I can't keep up with you.
And here I am making it so difficult for you by throwing out things like manual stimulation.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm going back right after the show today, and I'm hoping that will do something. But, I mean, I think it's worse today than it was yesterday in terms of happening more frequently. And, I walk every 4 or 5, 6 feet. It happens again. So it's a
bad
deal.
Can we interest you in Sizzurp?
Oh.
I wish I had some Sizzurp.
Right?
I really do.
Who would be better on Sizzurp than Bean?
Did you drink it all that one time?
I did. That was my last bottle of Sizzurp.
She just guzzled it?
I have nothing.
Hey, Lil Wayne, take it easy.
And the wife is out of town or left me. I can't tell yet. And so I have nothing in the house. Like, I couldn't even walk to the supermarket yesterday to get, milk and stuff because I just can't lift things.
Yeah, Postmates?
Yeah, Postmates or Instacart or any of those?
I guess that's something I should look up online.
Yeah.
So then I have to leave when the doorbell rings, but okay. I'll look into it.
Do what
I
do. Just stay right by the door.
It's a... It's a big mess, you guys.
Yeah.
It's a big mess. But
it doesn't sound ideal.
It's not the best. It's not the best. But anyway, so that's what's going on. That's the update.
But you're clinging to the healthiest man alive.
I am the healthiest man alive.
Oh, Bean.
Can't even say it. I didn't tell you the date, by the way. It's Tuesday, the 25th of October. We have a young man on the program today named Ron Howard.
Yeah!
Ron Howard has done everything.
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
He was a childhood star on TV. He's won an Oscar for directing. He's directed pretty much every movie you've ever liked.
Yeah. It's been about 30 films, and I bet 27 of them are great.
Yeah. What are the other three, Bean?
Yeah, name them. Well, rank them in worst.
I don't really want to... Well,
I'm saying you said...
There's no way he's awake, right?
Three of them are bad. I would guess not.
I just think How the Grinch Stole Christmas has got to be looked at as a mistake, right?
Oh, really?
The Jim Carrey movie?
So.
No.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it.
Of course not.
But was it terrible?
No, not at all.
It really?
No. Uh-uh.
Oh, all right. Then maybe he's made 28 out of 30 have been
great.
What
are the other two?
Have you seen the other two?
I don't remember, you guys.
Don't even say Willow. I will come after
I'm just
you.
Saying the guy has a phenomenal track record.
Right.
He really does.
But that's what we were saying before you interrupted with negativity.
And by the way, his company produces some of the greatest TV shows of all time.
Right.
He's the guy behind, his company produced Parenthood and Friday Night Lights and Empire and the list goes on and on and on. I mean, the man owns Hollywood.
Yeah, he's pretty magic.
Speaking of people who are magic, we have Brian Tyree Henry, who plays Paperboy on Atlanta.
Ali's in love.
He's my favorite. I was a Darius girl at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Paperboy stole my heart, you guys. Really did.
We're going to talk to Landon Donovan from the LA Galaxy. It's playoff time, starting tomorrow night. And we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball as well this morning. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Ralph Garman is out today, in case you're wondering why there's so little yelling going on. And for the Showbiz Beat, here's Ally McKay. What's going on for Tuesday?
It's early, and I feel like people that are listening right now should be rewarded for that.
Correct.
How about a pair of three-day passes to this weekend's Stan Lee's L.A. Comic-Con?
Yay!
Yes! It is this weekend at the L.A. Convention Center. You're going to meet stars from The Flash, Batman, Kevin Smith, Ralph Garman. They'll all be down there. Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance, he's going to do a panel for his new comic book. Tickets are still available at stanleyslacomiccon.com. But right now, five callers are going to win a pair of three-day passes to Stan Lee's L.A. Comic-Con at the L.A. Convention Center, October 28th through 30th. So call now, 1-800-520-1067. Good luck to you.
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this.
I do too, Dorothy.
They're all dead now.
Thank you for that. Wow. I feel like we didn't talk enough about how Ken Rosenthal from Fox just didn't focus at all on what she said and just was like, hey, so how are you going to celebrate?
That was after the Cubs clinched and are going to the World Series. And the oldest fan, what is she, 90?
She's in her 90s, yeah. He just disregarded the fact that she's like, my whole family's dead. Wish they were here. He's like, but how are you going to celebrate?
Wish someone was alive. Right, but let's party.
Right?
By the way, she had an answer.
She did.
That was crazy.
She said she was going to have a Jägermeister. Oh, God bless her. Well, people still seem to be talking about Tom Hanks on Saturday Night Live this past weekend.
Because he was great.
What is the David S. Pumpkin sketch that everyone is losing their mind about?
It was just silly. It was a haunted house. It was a sketch where a couple of the people were in an elevator that goes up into the haunted house and stops every few floors, and there's something terrifying on the other side of the floor. There's a guy with a chainsaw, or there's the girl from The Ring, or something like that. And then Tom Hanks plays this character called David S. Pumpkins. It's just this doofus guy in a suit who just says silly things, and nobody can figure out why that's supposed to be scary. It was just one of those like silly, like you couldn't really figure out how a bit like that would even be thought of, but it ended up just being funnier and funnier the longer it went on because they're so confused as to why this guy is in a haunted house. And Tom Hanks, of course, just plays it
amazing. Well, all I keep hearing about is this David S. Pumpkins.
Yeah. It's going to be a very hot Halloween costume, I suspect.
Excellent. Well, it turns out that Tom Hanks and Lady Gaga's Saturday Night Live over the weekend turned out to be the best one of the season so far, according to Nielsen Overnights. In fact, it was SNL's highest overnight average for an October episode in 8 years.
Wow.
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this.
I do,
They're
too.
They're all dead now.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dorothy.
A lot of bad news for Dorothy.
It really is. And in case you didn't get enough of Lady Gaga on Saturday Night Live, that is her name. Mm-hmm. She will be a passenger in tonight's carpool karaoke on CBS TV's The Late Late Show with James Corden.
If I see Tony Bennett in the back seat, I'm going to be angry.
Why?
Because I'm tired of that.
But there's they're all so right. good
they're great
together.
He's old, he's great. She's young, she's great. I get it.
But they sound great together.
Right. See, yeah, I've heard it. Great. Excellent. What's next?
So angry.
No, I'm just saying what's next.
They've got to pick up Tony Bennett,
Come
though,
on,
right?
though. I'm saying what's next.
All right. Well, we do have a little snippet for you in preparation of tonight.
Ooh la la, watch your bad romance.
You're about to go and do the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When you get the phone call saying you're going to do the Super Bowl, what goes through your mind?
Well, let's do it. Let's do it. Hello?
Hey, Gaga.
Hey, what's up?
It's Dave from the NFL.
Hi, Dave.
What are you doing early next year?
Oh, my gosh. Are you giving me the Super Bowl?
Yes. That is amazing that you even knew that from that small bit of information.
Lady Gaga! Oh, wow.
Wow.
I hope she
makes shouts that about herself?
She does. Wow. She's kind of taking it on as her own thing,
well, that's
which is
weird.
It is odd. But I cannot wait for that. I don't know if you love carpool karaoke like I do. But for me, it started with Adele. I just thought she was the best. And then, oh, Chris Martin from Coldplay was so dang funny on it. It's just, it's one of
Chili
the best.
Chili Peppers were great.
Chili Peppers
Michelle
were
Obama.
Awesome.
Michelle Obama.
Michelle
right.
Obama. I'm just going to keep repeating everything you two say. It's
you
just,
two hasn't done it.
Bean.
Yeah.
All right. Really sad news, you guys. Pete Burns, lead singer of the 80s UK dance group Dead or Alive, passed away after a massive heart attack. He was only 57 years old.
Wow. But he was so healthy the day before. What happened?
Oh, see, again,
massive heart
that's,
attack.
That's how heart attacks work. They kind of just sneak right up on you. But in case you don't know, Dead or Alive's biggest hit, You Spin Me Round Like a Record. Here's...
Bonafide K-Rock classic right there.
It is a classic and still so listenable. That's from 1985. So dang good.
I heard what caused his death was sitting on his wallet. A lot of people
didn't,
they don't know it's so dangerous.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'll cause a heart attack?
Yes.
I did not
it's
know that.
Crazy, the side effects
out.
Sitting
yeah.
on a wallet.
Well, if you didn't know what Pete Burns has been up to lately, he was on season 4 of England's Big Brother, and then he revealed his addiction to plastic surgery on the UK's celebrity botched up bodies.
Oh, no.
I know. Yeah. He was unrecognizable at
oh,
the
you,
end.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't, you definitely, if you were shown a picture of him, you would say, oh, that's a lovely lady. You would never know it was Pete Burns from Dead or Alive, who, my God, in 85?
Right?
Yeah. All I'm saying?
Sure.
Who's with me? Bean?
Not on this one, no.
Okay, all right. All of these stars celebrating a birthday today, and there's a whole slew of great ones. Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers is 55. Samantha Bee is 47. Actor Adam Goldberg is 46. Craig Robinson, he's 45. Singer Katy Perry is 32.
And who are they? Katy Perry. Guys, hey, Katy Perry, walk the moon. Hey, Katy Perry, Walk the Moon is standing right here. Katy Perry, Walk the Moon is standing right here.
We played with John Mayer last night.
Hey, you guys.
I don't understand how she didn't walk over. Makes no sense to me. And singer Ciara is 31. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Keep on listening for your chance to win tickets to the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's going to be Friday night at the Fonda Theater. Plus, you'll get VIP access to our private rooftop party. We'll tell you how to win coming up soon here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Let's talk Halloween music.
I love Halloween music.
There's not enough new stuff.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like at Christmas, for Christmas music, maybe you're not aware of it, but there are how many albums a year, Bean?
Oh, I mean, every year there's probably another 50.
50?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know the number was that high, but
yeah.
But for Halloween, there just seems to be not that many. I mean, you have the old standard, Monster Mash.
They did the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
I love Monster Mash. I wish that was actually a clip from the original version of that song instead of what it is. But it's a great song.
That's not the original?
It's not. And it's a re-recording. And I never get tired of hearing it. That's a year-round for me. That one comes up on my playlist year-round. I'm happy with it. I don't just need that.
Really? Album.
Yeah, I love Monster Mash.
That's sort of weird. Then there's a little bit of Shout at the Devil.
Shout! Shout!
Come on. See, that's a perfect example of a song, another song that, you know, is legit year round. But at Halloween, it's just super fun. You know?
Do you remember?
Right?
Right.
I think that's still my favorite.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you could certainly argue it's the greatest Halloween song of all time.
Well,
unless you're talking.
Yep.
Party.
Yep.
Who could ask for more? Everybody's coming. Leave your body at the door. Leave your body and soul.
Love that too. And by the way, let me just say as a PS and as an aside and as another thing that will slow this bit down.
Good. Excellent. That's what we're looking for.
You know, I am a human roadblock.
Right.
And that is, we all love the hell out of Danny Elfman. He's great. He's brilliant. He's a genius.
But
I'm still mad at him for walking away from songwriting.
How can you be mad at him? He hasn't walked away from songwriting.
He's written more since Oingo Boingo than he ever did.
He's walked away from Bongo.
He does scores now.
Bongo.
He doesn't do
Are
songs
they Bongo
anymore.
Bongo?
They're Boingo. Okay.
Bongo.
Yeah.
He does. I mean, every once in a while, something like Nightmare, you know, Before Christmas, he'll write some actual songs. But don't you miss his songwriting?
Come with us and you will see.
Right?
This is our town of Halloween. This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Pumpkins scream in the dead of night.
He's he's so genius, and most of his time is spent making instrumental scores for films, which are brilliant. They're great, but it's not the same as having Danny Elfman written songs.
Right,
that's
but I mean, is he supposed to be unhappy so that you can be happy?
No.
Right.
I will allow it. I'm just saying,
that's nice.
I'm disappointed because he's so talented in that other area that he doesn't explore very often.
I feel like... would it kill him to reunite Oingo Boingo once?
Are you going to step further then?
Yes.
I can answer that.
It would kill him.
Yes,
absolutely.
It would.
He
yes.
doesn't want to do it at all. But
yes.
would it kill him?
Yes.
Just, okay, but would
Look,
it?
But right, but yes.
The police didn't want to get back together either, right?
Right.
But they did, and they made a lot of people happy.
But
I mean,
Danny
just one show.
Yes, it would kill him.
Okay.
Danny Elfman is the guy that can't, is he announced that this year is the last time he's doing the Nightmare Before Christmas mm-hmm. live.
And it's like performing in front of people.
And it's only the second time he's ever done it, but he doesn't want to get into a thing where there's that much pressure to do it.
But would it kill him?
Yes!
Okay.
Allie is just saying.
Remember this song, Bean?
It's Halloween, so get down and eat my candy. It's Halloween, so get down and eat my candy.
What? That was a Kevin and Bean listener, if I recall correctly.
Yep.
Wasn't
of course it,
it
was.
GT, does that sound right?
Yep, that's what it was.
Yeah, that was great. We played that a bunch for a couple of years, yeah.
Get down and eat my candy.
Right?
Right.
Now, that sounds like the AFI version?
Yes, mm-hmm. AFI.
And every time we play it or talk about it, we get angry listeners who contact us and go, it's a misfit song.
Right.
We know, but AFI does a great version of it, too. They're both great.
I like your version of your impression of the listeners, though. The misfit song.
All right. You know, you can tell sometimes tone in an email.
And sure. then there's some, you know, some bad. It's not all good, unfortunately. There are some bad songs.
Halloween.
Right? Like that one. That's all we got for the clip.
Oh,
interesting. The other clip seems so much longer.
Yeah, I wish it was longer, but we don't have time for that. Although we do have time for Cuckoo Kangaroo.
I don't hate it.
Right?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Cuckoo Kangaroo.
Keep it up for the monster crew. You definitely more scary than you. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Uh-huh. Pop out the dark and say boom. Everyone here is spooky. This song right here is a doozy. Straight out the horror movie. But now we want to boogie. Let me see your monster moves.
And that's new for 2016, right?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Let me see your monster moves. Let me see your monster moves. After midnight, let's hit the street. Terrify every soul we meet. Scare a hundred kids.
I know you're in the house.
I'm hanging in the graveyard.
Let me hear you.
I need to hear you.
All the mummies.
Let me hear you say TP.
TP.
All the zombies.
Zombies.
Let me hear you say brains.
Brains.
All the werewolves. Let me hear you say hairy palms.
Hairy palms.
All the ghosts. Let me hear you say boo.
Boo, boo, boo.
See your monster moves.
I know we're out of time now, but we got to talk them into letting us play a bunch more Halloween music as
Agreed.
We get closer to and on the holiday. Because, I mean, if we don't have time for Nightmare on My Street by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, and I don't even know what this holiday is about anymore.
That's the one you're going to take a stand on?
That's it, man. Brian Tyree Henry joins us just after 7:15 this morning on The Kevin Bean Show. He is Paperboy on Atlanta on FX. Allie, contain yourself.
I'm so excited.
And then the 8 o'clock hour, make sure you are with us here on K-Rock this morning because we got the great legendary actor-director Ron Howard is going to be here for the hour. So that's going to be a lot of fun. First, though, here's the headline. Cash is no longer king in Sweden. Ask a Swede when they last paid for something in cash. The answer is probably months ago. Digital payments via cards or mobile apps are so common and trusted that many Swedes no longer carry cash. This, by the way, is the direction that a lot of countries are heading, including America. I think about 50% of transactions in America are non-cash right now.
Right.
And I have gotten to the point, and this has burned me a couple of times, where I often have no cash on me at all. The only things I really ever use cash for is if I, you know, run into a Circle K to get something to drink and you give them a dollar or something like that. But for other anything else, you know, you buy something for $5 or $8 or $30 or whatever, you just use your credit card or your ATM for some people. How about you guys?
The prostitute is someone who would love you no matter who you are, what you look like.
You need cash.
Yes, it's true, children.
You need cash for this.
That's not why you pay a prostitute. No, you don't pay for her to stay. You pay her to leave afterwards. That's why I praise the Lord for prostitutes. Prostitutes.
Prostitutes. I think they prefer cash.
How about you, Kevin? Like, if you stop at McDonald's on your way home for work today, as you probably will,
yeah,
you'll give them a credit card at the window, right?
No, I never have at a fast food restaurant.
Really? You pay cash for fast food?
Yeah.
How much cash do you usually walk around with?
You know, $5,000 to $6,000. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I always have, what are you trying to get me robbed?
No. I'm so
I have a dollar.
No, seriously, how much do you have? I'm fascinated by this because I can't remember the last time I had more than $20 on my person at one time.
Probably just 40 to 60 bucks.
Wow, you're rolling deep.
Is that rolling deep?
Yes.
Remember when I went through the drive-thru at the McDonald's and I ordered food and I was sitting in line and then I reached in my pocket and realized I had no cash, so I just pulled out and ran for it?
Right.
Just and like, people were like, they'd give it to you.
Hoping that no one would notice. Yeah, and then I told the story on the air and everybody called in and said, they'll give you your food, just promise to bring them back the money. And I was like, that's so stupid.
That's a bad business model.
I'm going to try it. So I went out and tried it right after the show. And they were like, sure, here's your food. Come back whenever.
Wow.
It worked.
That's magic.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you have to go to a different McDonald's every time you eat now because you never go back.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
The thing. Well, this happened to me this weekend. And I thought this might be interesting as a phone topic. We'd like you to call in at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin had his story in the drive-thru. And I'll tell you my story here. We want to hear what happened to you when you found out you had no cash. How did it burn you by not being a person who carries money around? So here's what I did this weekend. I had a little time. I packed up the dogs in the back of the car, and I decided I wanted to drive over the world's longest bridge over water. Because why wouldn't you, right? It's in your neighborhood. You got to go see that, right? There's a 24-mile bridge over Lake Pontchartrain here in Louisiana, okay?
Okay.
Lake Pontchartrain you've heard of, by the way. That's the lake that flooded New Orleans after Katrina.
And people
right?
say you don't know how to live.
Right.
Right? I want you to picture for just a moment. This bridge is 24 miles long.
That's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And that's as much as I can give to it.
Yeah.
I would not go out and get in my car. I wouldn't drive over.
Mile bridge.
Right. That's impressive.
Connecting the north and the south side of the lake.
What happens when you get to the other side? Is there like a huge party? They're like, you made it.
No, it's just more little towns. So
okay.
So I decided I wanted to drive up. I thought it might be fun just to take the dogs for a little road trip and drive up there. And
bet they loved it.
Did the dogs high five you when you got over the 24 miles?
They were very impressed.
We did it.
They were either very impressed or they slept and missed the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, Linus, wake up. So anyway, so I drive across the bridge and everything's fine. And I go and I find a nice park and I walk the kids and I turn around and I come back. And what I guess I didn't know, having not done the research, is that it's a toll bridge. They only charge you in one direction. So I didn't know that going north from New Orleans, you just drive onto the bridge like it's a highway. On the way back, you have to stop and go through a toll booth, and it costs you $3.
All right. And you had none?
I didn't have any money.
Yes.
I didn't carry any cash at all.
Did you do the thing where you search your car?
Well, I knew there wasn't any cash in my car, except for, I don't know, there was 25 cents or something like that.
Right, but that adds up.
I didn't have $3. $3 is way out of my range.
All right.
So I pull up, and wouldn't you assume with all your heart that at a toll booth in America, you'd be able to pay with a credit card?
No. It's a
really?
Toll booth. They want as many cars going through there quickly.
Oh, because that would slow it all down.
Yeah.
But I mean,
we have a lot of toll booths here.
Yeah, on the East Coast, many people have a fast pass, so they just zoom right through anyway. So you're a dick.
There is the 73 in Orange County. You're right. Bean's a dick.
Yes.
Is that
why am I a dick?
Because you're slowing everybody down with the credit card.
I didn't know. So I pull up, and she says $3, and I go, hey, here's my credit card. And she's like, we don't accept credit cards. And I said, but I don't have any money. And she said, well, you're going to have to drive around the lake, which I think, by the way, is like 70 miles to drive around the lake. It's one of the largest lakes in America, okay? That's why they built the bridge.
Oh, my gosh.
So I said, I don't have any money. And she said, well, there's an ATM there in the office here at the thing.
Okay.
But I don't have an ATM card with me. I literally have a credit card and my driver's license.
Oh,
that's all I have.
Bean.
I don't have an ATM. So I said, what am I supposed to do? I can't be the first person who's come through here with no money. And she said, well, you can go, turn around and go back up into town, go to Covington or something, and go to a supermarket and try to get some cash off your credit card. So now she's turning it into a thing, right?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, it's her fault.
And it's 80 degrees, and I'm not going to go and park my car with my dogs in it in a parking lot and go in and try to negotiate at the supermarket to get some money.
That's not her fault.
My point is, what am I going to do now? What is the answer here?
I drove around that lake.
I think you have to work the booth for like a couple of hours minimum wage. Take out your taxes, and then hopefully you'll have $3 left.
I would love being working at the booth.
Yes, yes. Are you excited to go on the bridge?
I should have offered to work it off. So I was just so flummoxed because I had all terrible options. And you're never going to guess.
24 miles.
You're never going to guess what ended up happening. And I'll tell you this real quick. So I'm just basically just sitting there with a sad face. And the lady in the toll booth comes out of the booth. I'm in the parking lot across from the booth right now.
And punches you in the face?
No. She walks over to me and she says, you should just go through lane 2. There's nobody there in lane 2. That's the fast pay lane.
Oh, I see. So you're technically like breaking the law, but it'll just be a little bit of a fine later.
I don't know. This is the thing. I have no idea. I mean, I think she was trying to do me a favor so that I didn't have to drive around.
I hope it's a felony.
I have no idea what happens if you go through the fast pay lane because, that's for people who, as Allie mentioned, have already set up a system so that they just get automatically debited or whatever.
Fiends in jail. What'd you do? I went through the fast lane.
So am I now going to get a letter in the mail from the state of Louisiana with a print out of my license plate, like when you get the red light camera?
I think so, but I think it's a relatively small fine.
I hope so, because it's a $3 toll. If I took her advice and it ends up being like $100, I'm going to be mad.
Why didn't you ask her? Why didn't you say, what's the ticket for it?
I didn't even think about it. And she might not even know, by the way. That's not exactly her area either.
She knows. Come on,
she did it on purpose to set me up.
That's her job.
$295.
Oh, that would be so great.
This is what I'm afraid of.
That would be so awesome.
And I guess my point is, and the reason why I wanted to do this phone topic is – maybe you always keep $5 on you. Maybe that's not a bad piece of
right.
advice.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case of a super emergency like this, right?
Yes. All right, John.
I may have learned a lesson.
John, you hold on. Nicole, you hold on. We'll take some more calls. 1-800-520-1067. What happened when you did not have any cash? We'll talk to you next.
You're Kevin Bean. Loretta writes in, my husband was traveling for business in Brazil, and he and his coworker went through a toll road. They didn't have any small bills. The total was $5 Brazilian money. They only had 100. The toll guy took the $100, let them pass, and never gave them any change. So that's how that works in Brazil, I guess. We're talking about problems you ran into by not having any cash. It happened to me over the weekend. It was a $3 toll on a bridge, no credit cards accepted. That's a tight spot to be in, and maybe I'm rethinking this idea of not having any cash. Why don't we start with Amy, please, in Long Beach, just to follow up on the toll booth thing, and then we'll move on to some other calls at 1-800-520-1067.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Amy.
Hey, guys. Hey. How's it going?
Good, thank you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you have advice for me?
I do. I was on the 73 toll road in Orange County for a very short distance. Didn't realize I was going to need any money. It's $1.50 toll. I searched my car. I had absolutely nothing. So I got out of my car and I went to the car behind me and I said, hey, do you have $1.50 I could borrow? And I was able to get the money and go through, but I didn't want to risk it. So
that's pretty smart, because if the person behind you is held up because of your money,
they just want to get through.
Bean, you should have gone to the car behind you and said, look, they won't take your credit card. I don't have money. If you'd like to get through, I need $3.
Did you repay the person? Was it a loan or was it a gift?
No.
Well, I asked to borrow it, but there's no way I was going to pay him back.
Wow, Amy's a dick. All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Lucy, please. Line 5 here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, hey, Lucy.
Hi. Hey.
I'm such a fan. I listen to you religiously, but
thank
I've never
you.
Called. I'm so excited.
Thank
You're
you.
Very
You're
very sweet.
All right.
Okay, so listen. So yes. I have a good one. I'm an actor, and I had a really, really important audition, like, the next morning for a big show. And I had, like, 4 pennies to my name, seriously.
Right.
And I'm like, how am I going to get these sides printed? So I go to my Kinko's, and I go, okay, listen. I told her the story, and I go, will you please take pity on me and print these sides for free? And she goes, no. And I
wait,
said,
hold
what?
On, Lucy. Hold on. You didn't ask her to make the copies or print them first and then say you didn't have money? Because then they're already printed. That's the Kevin way.
Can't. You don't have access. You can't get
on
the computer.
Oh, you can't do that at Kinko's.
Pay first.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
And I said, listen, look, if it were me, I would personally put it on my own credit card. Like, if I were that toll booth lady that you experienced, I would have paid for you. I'm just, I have very strong feelings about this.
Right.
But she said, no. And I said, I don't believe this. I said, I looked at her name tag. I said, your name's Michelle. I just want you to know that when I'm on Jimmy Kimmel, I will be calling you out by name at this Chico's that you did not pay for my sides when it was like.
But look, I like how bitter you already are.
Yes, I do. Here, you're going to be a great Hollywood star then.
Yeah, you don't sound entitled at all. So
this homeless guy was over in the corner and he was like, "I'll pay for you. How much is it?"
But Lucy,
he wasn't talking about the sides, though.
Right? Yeah, right.
But Lucy, why would you expect the Kinko's employee to pay for your headshots? Seriously?
Because we're all humankind here, and we should look out for each other.
Right. I can't.
But Lucy, here's the thing. You can ask that person. We all understand that you're in that position. But when that person says no, and you get mad.
I got so mad.
Yeah, that's on you.
I think it is on you.
I told her I'm going to cuss her out on Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay. I think you need to do a real look inside your heart, Lucy. But thank you for the call.
All right. We heard you, Michelle. We got it.
Wow.
All right.
Wow, right?
Wow.
Let's talk to John Corona, line 4. We're talking about what happens if you end up someplace and you realize you have no cash. Then what? John, what happened?
Yeah, it was on our first date over in La Mirada at the Northwoods Inn. Dinner goes great. We're having a good time. Check comes, and I do just kind of think like I was going to, you know, feel for my wallet. I don't even have my wallet.
Oh, so you don't even have credit cards.
I got nothing.
Oh, man. All right.
And except for maybe the ability to wash dishes. So I excuse myself, go to the bathroom because I'm trying to figure out how to
you know, how to
break the news to your date, right?
Please, God, tell me that you excused yourself and you went to the bathroom and you went out the back door and never came back.
Kevin, why would you do that?
Because I feel like that's what John is leading toward.
No, unfortunately. I couldn't do that. But I had a buddy who lived about 10 minutes away. I called him up, asked if, you know, if I could borrow some cash, explain the situation. He's like, yeah, but I can't leave. So, dejected, I had to walk back to the table and explain the situation to the girl and said, I don't have any money, and I need you to pay for dinner, but I'll have you paid back in, like, 10 minutes. So she was totally understanding, you know, covered the bill, drove about 100 miles an hour to my friend's house, got some cash, gave her money back. And
was there another date?
And now you're married.
No, we didn't get married. Oh. That was, we saw each other maybe one or two other times, but, yeah. That,
but at least your date for a while had a happy ending.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it did?
Right.
Sorry.
I can't. What? 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Hey, ahead of the Showbiz Beat, can I just say that the NBA season is here?
Right.
Can I say that?
Yes, you can say that.
The Clippers open on the road, I want to say, tomorrow night?
Sunday night. Oh, on the road. Yes, I'm sorry.
Yes, they open on the road against Portland tomorrow night, but their home opener is going to be versus the Utah Jazz, because when you think great jazz music, you certainly think Utah.
Correct.
And that's going to be this Sunday at Staples Center. We are once again today giving you tickets to that game, and you're qualified for the grand prize, which is to see the Clippers versus Portland on November 9th at Staples Center. And that night will include VIP Valet parking, access to the pregame warm-ups, the pregame fan tunnel, the Hyde Lounge, and so much more. Kevin, how are we giving away the Clippers tickets here this morning?
We are going to play an ID. We're going to play Ralph Lawler saying that you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, I'm going to play it right now for you, but this is not...
Sorry.
But this is not the contest. This is just what you're supposed to be listening for. So the next time we play it, you be caller 20, and you win the ticket. So here it is.
Hi, this is Ralph Lawler of the Clippers. Bingo! You're with Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
All right, so we're going to play that again at some point in today's show.
All right.
Can we say in the 7 o'clock hour?
I feel like you just did.
I did, didn't I?
Yes.
I heard it.
In the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to play that. When you hear it, be caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067, and you will win those tickets.
That is, that's easy. That's,
yep.
Anyone can win that. All right, Brian Tyree Henry, one of the stars of Atlanta, our favorite new show on FX, is joining us in studio, coming up right up the top of the hour. First, though, in for Ralph, here's Alec.
You guys, I apologize. It is 6:54, and I'm just getting to this.
Okay.
I feel like we could have been celebrating up until now, but now we've got to go full tilt.
Okay.
Today is National Chucky the Notorious Killer Doll Day.
Chucky from the movies?
Right.
What franchise was Chucky a part of?
Child's Play. Chucky, the Notorious Killer Doll Day. Is a thing.
I like it.
So, you want to hang out and play with our Chucky dolls?
I'm not sure that's how you celebrate.
Do we have our dolls stab people? Like, what? How do you celebrate?
I think that's
think?
What you do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in. We're all going to die tonight.
Oh, dear. We've talked a lot about this whole Bob Dylan Nobel Prize thing.
Right.
He's not picking up the phone. They're going to his house.
They can't get a hold of him.
They just want to give him his award. And he is not interested in the least, not responding to emails, phone calls, anything from the Swedish Academy.
What I love is they're not trying to give him a jury summons.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
They're not serving him with papers. They're just trying to give him a Nobel Prize.
Right. They have been quoted, the members of the Academy, saying he is rude and arrogant.
Wow.
And he also is kind of a dumbass, because in order to get the $900,000
wow.
that comes with the Nobel Prize, he just has to give one lecture on literature. That's it. Just one lecture
somewhere.
But does
somewhere have to be able to understand what he's saying?
Oh,
is that part of
true.
It?
That's true.
Well, there'll be a translator, I'm sure.
Okay. There has to be, right?
Subtitles on the screen.
You pay big money to see mumbles. You want to at least know what he's saying. He doesn't have to do it in Stockholm, where the prize will be handed out in December. If he decides to show up, he has to give the lecture within 6 months of that date in order to get that check. I didn't know that it was 900 grand.
I didn't either,
good
but
Lord.
I would assume that perhaps he's a guy that's not a lot of money to.
Yeah.
I would assume. I don't know.
Yeah.
What kind of money does he have, Bean?
Oh, he's fine.
Yeah.
But, look, I don't care who you are, and I don't care how accomplished you are and how recognized you are for decades of work. The Nobel Prize is a real thing, and it's a big deal. And
but
I,
not if he...
Bean sounds angry.
Yeah, I am.
Honestly, you could see that Bob Dylan just doesn't care.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I guess it's up to him. It's his Nobel Prize. If he doesn't care, he doesn't care. But can you imagine having a, being in the mindset of it not affecting you or not being a big enough deal to at least respond, hey, thanks.
Just answer the phone?
Just right. answer the phone, yeah.
Oh, it's the Nobel people again. Let it ring. Let
just
it go.
Answer an email with a K. Like the
that's
ever.
It. Okay. Just text him back if that's all you got.
Write
just text him
something.
And say, okay.
Just an emoji, like a thumbs up. Something. My God.
That's funny.
Hey, you guys, today at 11:30 in front of the Pig and Whistle British Pub, that's at 6712 Hollywood Boulevard, one of our favorite actors will be getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. That's a little hint in front of the Pig and Whistle British Pub.
Jesus?
It is not Jesus.
This is a British actor?
Yes, it would be.
Usually it's tied to a project that's coming out soon.
Maybe a TV show that has come out, premiered oh. Wednesday, October 19th.
Oh.
Maybe it's on one of the subscription services.
HBO?
Nope.
Showtime?
No. Like a Netflix or a Hulu or an Amazon?
Netflix? Hulu?
Billy Bob Thornton?
Nope. When I say British, if you
BBC America.
If you did not know
BBC.
He was... If you did not know he was British, but just saw him acting, okay. you'd think he was American. Think right. Veep. Think House. My God.
House.
House. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who could I be talking about?
Is it
about?
Hugh Laurie?
My God, yes. Good Lord.
My name is Iqbal Banotsak.
It is not. It is Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie.
He is getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame today.
That's fantastic.
I feel like you held up your end of the bargain with asking the question.
Right.
And Bean and I failed.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
That's on us.
Yeah. Well, he will be getting the award. And again, Stephen Fry will be there speaking at the dedication. That
his
I would
longtime
just go,
best friend.
Yes. I would just go to see those two interacting.
And Bob Dylan will also be there
he
giving a speech.
He will not be there. He responded with a thumbs down. Not for him. We're going to talk in a little bit about some new TV shows that are slated to come out. One, all about bad dates, which I am here for.
Okay.
Because I could fill up that TV show. Good stuff. Let's talk about some birthdays. Actress Nancy Cartwright, she is the voice of Bart Simpson, turns 59 today. Red Hot Chili Peppers drummer Chad Smith is 55. TV host Samantha Bee is 47. Adam Goldberg, 46. Actor Craig Robinson is 45. Singer Katy Perry is 32. And singer Ciara is 31. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Brian Tyree Henry,
hello,
ladies
hello.
And gentlemen. One of the stars of TV's Atlanta Tuesday Nights at 10 on FX. Give me a little of that song, would you please?
Paper boy, always about that paper boy. If you ain't on your grind, then you flexing, you's a hater boy. Paper boy, always getting paper boy. If you ain't making money, then you ain't a money.
He plays Alfred Paperboy Miles on the show, and we are delighted to welcome him here to the studio. And I love that right as that record was running out, he said, Dave, get out of here. Which is, I just knew Brian was our man.
Yeah, that's the right
our producer out.
That's the right move.
Hey, man, someone's got to take charge, you know what I mean? Early morning.
Brian, we all love different shows for the most part, but there are a few that we all come together on, and this is one. Atlanta, we all love like crazy.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That's great. I love it, too. We had a blast filming this show. It was absolutely amazing. And the city of Atlanta is my favorite city, you know, other than L.A. and New York, of course. But,
so it's like eighth, basically. When I mean,
it's up there. Man, it's up there. It's great. I love it. And
you lived in Atlanta for a while? You went
to
school near
there,
right?
There. I went to college there.
And, Morehouse?
Morehouse College, class mm-hmm. of 04. And that's where I kind of discovered acting, honestly, that's where I discovered all these things that I'm doing now. I became a man there and became the person I am now from 18 to 22. So Atlanta's home. That's the stop.
Now, you had the kind of career that a lot of actors wish for, to be able to get on shows like Law & Order right out of the gate and The Good Wife and Boardwalk Empire and The Nick and shows like that. But when Atlanta came along, you knew that this was a big deal, right?
Yeah. I mean, all I know is that I saw the title and I was like, okay, great.
That's great.
So far, so good.
I was like, cool, Atlanta? All right, cool. That's fantastic. And then I started reading, and I saw Alfred, and I was just like, I know this dude.
Yeah. Like,
I know this dude. I love this dude. I'm still friends with these dudes to this day. One of them actually lives out here, who I just had a very heated spades game with, but we still love each other. But yeah, I just really wanted to reflect those guys that have like kind of made me who I am, and are. All of us have. I think all of us have our own personal alphas and paper.
You went into the audition with Donald Glover, and you knew immediately that that was just, that was it, right?
It was, I mean, just being next to him, and Hero was also in the room, too, our director, and it was just instant. It was just instantaneous, the love, and we
ad-libbed. Well, chemistry is just one of those things that you can't fake. You know what I mean? You either have it or you don't.
Yeah.
When you say you know these dudes, like Paperboy,
yeah.
what do you mean? What kind of dude?
You know, come on, like your cousin, you know, that's always cheating and poker, you know what I mean? Like, the one that'll make sure that that's your parking spot and it's secure, you know what I mean? He'll come out and be like, you know, we got it. Like, you know that guy. Like, he's just that guy. And we all have one, and I just really wanted to make sure that I represented that guy as good as I could. And Alfred's just great. I think, you know, it's easy to see him and think he's, you know, rough around the edges, but he has the biggest heart, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He has the biggest heart, and he loves who he loves, and you know, he just doesn't like to be crossed, and he'll protect his own, and that's why I really like him.
I feel like the beginning, you were Paperboy. That's who we were getting to know the first, you know, few episodes.
Sure.
But now we're getting to know Alfred, and you're just evolving.
See, I like that. When the voice does that, I remember you, Paperboy, and then we get to know Alfred.
Alfred,
like, that's what
and
I want,
so
man.
And he's a teddy bear, and he will protect you, and
that
he's good.
That is what I want. That's what
oh,
I want.
He's the best.
That's fantastic.
Bean, we need to ask all questions like that from now
apparently
on.
Apparently so, yeah.
The voice has to go higher, Paperboy.
Hey, you know, that shows that you really feel what you're doing.
But I will say I'm surprised as a you know, up and coming successful rapper, you know, on the radio in Atlanta, your character doesn't seem to do very well with the ladies.
I don't think
he
that
has, man.
That
listen,
work.
Man, Paperboy has the worst game in the world. I was like, oh man, I just can't win out here at all, man. Like, but I love that though, because it kind of humbles him a little bit. But you know, like. It's all about what fame is, you know what I mean? Like, you think, like, he never wanted fame. He never thought that, you know, him doing this little track would then, you know, parlay into him being a successful rapper. And once he started smelling himself a little bit, the ladies make sure to be like, actually, like, no.
For people who haven't yet caught up on Atlanta, who are bad people.
Yes, I agree.
Give us a recap of your character and Donald Glover and everybody else in the show.
Well, Atlanta is about these two cousins. One is Earn, who is a dropout from Princeton, who comes back home. He has a daughter and a baby mama, and he's trying to sort that situation out. And he realizes that his cousin, Alfred, Paperboy, has a single out that's fire in the streets. So he does everything he can to become my manager. With or without my permission, mostly without.
Without, mostly, yeah.
Mostly without. And then, you know, fame and notoriety come. And then, you know, Darius, who is my right-hand man, and I feel like we speak our own language. And that goes with me and Keith, too. Like, me and Keith have our own language.
He is Keith, such man. A wackadoodle.
I know, man.
I love him.
I love that
the
dude
best.
So yeah. much. Like, with, like, that friendship is real.
He was
like,
wearing a sailor cap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
He
I love his style. Like, he's the kind of guy. I was like, the only way I describe it, I was like, if ever he's down, I just want to give him a piggyback ride. Like, I'm just like, come on, dude, just get him. Let's go.
All right.
Like,
that's
I love
nice.
You. Like, I love you so much.
I've never had that thought, but maybe it's
because
I'm not a big
guy.
Come on,
man. You should have those friends that you just want to give piggyback rides
to. They
got to
be
you
small,
know?
Though, for me.
Yeah,
though.
Well, yeah.
That says something
about
no
you. One's, no one's giving me one, so that's all good. But, yeah, so it's about us trying to make it in Atlanta. And, you know, the city is its own universe in itself. So we use that. We use every inch of Atlanta. And, yeah, it's just about us day to day trying to get through this crazy world, navigating fame and success, and
one
also
of the things
being
that,
black in this world.
Like,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things that is so attractive to me about this show is it's a vision out of Donald Glover's head, and mm-hmm. it's a unique vision, and it's a unique perspective, and I think it's one that we haven't seen very often on TV shows and in movies.
Yeah, I mean, Donald, I keep using the word genius, and it's the only word I can think of, because he really is that. I mean, this guy is one of the dopest rappers I've ever heard, and then to be one of the dopest rappers and writers and actors, like, he's got it going, man, and he's just a great friend, too, and he listens, and he's in it with us, you know what I mean? So it's like,
have you seen him since the Star Wars Wars news came out?
Yeah.
What's that been like?
Man, I'm so proud. I mean, it's so apparent that he should be Lando. Like, it's. I don't know.
That's what we thought when we heard it too.
Yeah, it's so clear that this he is perfect for that, man. I mean, he's just so great, and I'm.
Now,
so
are you
glad.
Hitting him up for it's got to be a stormtrooper role or something, right?
Well, I'm coming for John Boyega, man.
All right.
I mean, Finn's got a brother somewhere. He just don't know it.
All there right,
you go. Like he's a Jedi too. I don't see why not, man. So, John Boyega, holla at your boy. Man,
let me ask you about a recent episode from about 3 weeks ago. Again, the voice of Brian Tyree Henry here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What?
He said hello.
He plays Paperboy on Atlanta Tuesday nights at FX. The Justin Bieber episode was one of our favorites.
That was so great.
So stupid.
It was so great. And you got to take out Justin Bieber, essentially, right? I mean, that was crazy filming that whole basketball game and everything, right?
It was the sweetest moment of my life. Like,
really?
To talk all that crap. You know, like, we get to ad lib a lot on this show and just, go for it. And Hero was like, so you do get in a spat with him and you get to say whatever you want. And I was like, I don't know if I can say this on the radio. It's so early. But when I get to tell him to eat a bag of something.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Specific variety of
something. You were speaking for all of us, brother.
Yeah, I was like, I've been waiting to tell Justin Bieber this my entire life. And the fact that I'm doing it playing basketball, which I suck at basketball, you guys. Like, when I got that script, I was like, so the joke is that I can't play basketball, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, MVP? Donald, are you sure? Like, are you sure you want me doing all that? But
did you run out and start shooting baskets?
First of all, there was choreography, kind of. Right. But, like, I was trying to dribble. It took me, like, 3 weeks to learn how to dribble. Because, like, okay, so let me just preface
Sweet
by saying my best friend is Sterling K. Brown, and Sterling loves to play basketball, and I clown him every time that he plays basketball. I was like, oh, yeah, way to go, black man. Go play basketball. Like, yeah, it's really deep. And so then I call him, and I was like, Sterling, I'm really sorry for all those years of, like,
playing. You know the stuff I said?
Because I got to play basketball now. And the concept of that was so terrifying. But when I realized that it was just a beef between me and Justin, played by the awesome actor Austin Crew, it was fun. And I think we did that for 15 hours. And I didn't realize that chafing was a thing until you play basketball.
Wow. Did you hear from any Beliebers after the episode? I imagine they were furious at you.
From Beliebers?
Yes. The Beliebers. Weren't they outraged?
I wish they would call me about some Justin Bieber, man. I wish they would, man. I mean, I'm not apologizing for anything, man. Like, no, I mean, I just remember trying to hold my tongue about it because I was like, people have no idea.
Well, the moment for me that just blew my mind was Justin Bieber is black.
He's black, man.
No apology, no reference, no anything.
No.
He's
in our universe, he's black. I mean, technically
fantastic.
In this universe, he thinks he's black. But yeah, we just want to do it. But I think the most absurd part is, why does Alfred have a beef with Justin Bieber? Like, out of all people, you shot someone in a parking lot, you've done all these things, and you have the pettiest beef with Justin Bieber. Isn't it great? It's my favorite thing in the world.
He
does not care, man. Like, but I think pettiness is great. Like, I think it's good because it's beyond passive aggressiveness to the point of action.
Yeah.
So, like, you're acting out your passive aggressiveness, you know what I mean? So, with Alfred, I love that he has a beef with Darius calling his gun daddy. You know what I mean? Like, why? Like, it's still a gun.
All right, listen, Brian, we need to take a break.
Oh, no.
Can you stick around for one more?
Absolutely.
All right, one more. Brian Tyree Henry is the name. He plays Paperboy on Atlanta. We'll be right back.
You heard the verse of Ralph Lawler from the LA Clippers broadcast team moments ago, and Keith Dinwiddie was our winner from Glendora. He won tickets to go to the Clippers home opener against the Jazz this Sunday at Staples Center. He's qualified for that great grand prize. Get all the details at KROQ.com. Another chance tomorrow. Hey, it's Paperboy from Atlanta, actor Brian Tyree Henry in CD with you on the Kevin and Bean Show. How you doing, Brian?
I'm good, man. I'm fantastic up in here.
You went to Yale, dude.
I went to Yale. Yeah. I went to Yale. Yeah,
we don't. Our caliber of friends are not that smart, so we don't meet a lot of Yale guys.
Just because I went to Yale doesn't mean I'm smart. Excuse me.
I think it does. But to those of us that couldn't go to Yale, yes, it does.
I went for drama, ladies and gentlemen. So I wasn't really learning astrophysics, but you know, I mean, it's still hard. You're like, just shut up and say yes to Yale, you ass.
But you do have to carry. You'd have to carry a certain amount of credits, and those classes are not easy to stay in school. So
they're not. But the great thing is that you don't have to take any tests. Like I thought I would have to take the GRE and everything, but you don't. They take you based on your audition.
Oh.
So you audition because they audition at least like 20,000 people across the country a year.
To get into Yale, you're talking about?
Yeah, and then they only take 16. And out of those 16, 10 16. 10 are men, 6 are women.
Wow.
What was your audition?
You made it.
I didn't know anything about Yale School of Drama, honestly. I had some professors tell me to audition.
Oh.
And because, I mean, my whole career has been based on people believing in me way more than I believed in myself, honestly. Like, I never thought I would make a living as an actor. And so they were like, you should audition for Yale. And I'm like, great, what I got to do? And they're like, you have to have a contemporary and a classical monologue. I was like, cool, what the hell are those? I had to learn, I learned everything on my on the plane there. Because I was like, I didn't even have a headshot. I had a friend take a headshot. I went to Kinko's across the street.
Just a last minute? Why not?
I mean, if people believe in me this much, and I knew that I loved acting, but I just didn't think that there was any way I could go further with it. Like, you know, I didn't feel that me as this young black kid from the South was going to be successful.
Well, if you're being realistic, the odds are so stacked against anyone succeeding in acting.
Hello, you know, but for me especially, because I have a big mouth, and so I was like, I'm not going to make it in acting because I say too much. So I went and I did Coriolanus from Shakespeare's Coriolanus, and then I did a monologue from an Eric Bogosian play called Pounding Nails on the Floor with My Forehead about this guy who was a chronic masturbator.
Oh, that old thing?
Yeah,
that
old thing. And I was like,
why not? and they said, Brian, congratulations, you've been accepted to Yale.
They did. I also didn't know I had to have a song, so
you're the least prepared person ever.
I was like, let's just do it. It was a free trip to Chicago, man. I was like, let's go. And so I sang Look at Me, I'm Sandra Dee from Greece, because that was the last thing I saw on television.
Stop it right now.
Can we hear some of that?
No.
Come on.
No.
Absolutely not.
You got into Yale
I have my degree now. I'm good on the singage, man.
Right now, I don't want to say that your character on Atlanta is dumb, because he's not.
He's absolutely not.
But he's certainly not as smart as you are in person.
I mean, Alfred. Be surprised. You'd be surprised. Alfred is very traveled. Like,
he seems like he's street smart.
He's very smart. But also, if you listen to things he says, like last week, he was like, "We could have been at home finishing Amadeus." He likes Amadeus,
he
man.
He did say that.
That's his thing, man. And he calls the dude the photographer Ansel Adams, so he knows his art. You know,
all right.
Photography, you know, Alfred is really smart. Like
Brian, he was smart enough to get out of the way of that invisible car. Hey, Brian, which sounds like a crazy reference to people who haven't seen the show.
Watch, it's going to happen. Invisible cars are going to happen.
Where did you get that accent that Brian has?
I am from the South.
You don't sound anything like Alfred does.
No, but I can trust and believe I can get down there if I want to. Like, it's not a problem, man. Like, I'll talk about it. But yeah, like my father is from Kentucky, and I grew up in Fayetteville, North Carolina. So, and then Atlanta. I like to call it talking and shout, which is shout for shouty.
Sure.
Because you know, in college I smoked a lot of weed, and so we.
I'm
would,
sorry.
In college, I smoked a lot of weed. Yeah. So we would go to drive-thrus and speak shout when we ordered our orders, just to see. So we go up and, you know, be like, hey, y'all, let me holler at number 2. Let me get that, like, with some extra sauce on it, pimping, like, you know. And then we would go to the window and they would repeat everything verbatim. I was like, oh, they got it. See, we ain't got to worry about anything. Like, it's all good. But I just like it, man. I love the South so much, because it's just all about being real and about being truthful and speak from the heart. And the South is clever. Like, it's really funny. Like, I feel like, you know, it's easier to say certain things to people if instead of being all, you know, articulate and upright and astute with liquid U's, to just be like, hey, man, what's going on? You know, it has a little bit more flavor to it. It's got a little bit more, you know. So, I mean, I grew up in that. And my father, I love it, because my father always had this saying. So if anyone asked my father, how's he doing? He'd be like, oh, man, I can't call it. And I'm like, what? Can't call what?
Like, what do you mean? Oh, man, I can't call it. You know, I can't call it. And I like that. I mean, my father is the most personable person in the world. He has the best personality.
Wouldn't you want him to say he's doing pretty well? He's doing great?
He's doing great.
I'm proud of him. Anything else?
I can't call it, man. I can't call it. But, yeah, so I just, you know, I love that about Alfred because he doesn't have the time. It's all about action, man. It's all
right,
about saying,
all
saying
about
what's real, saying what's real and what's on his
Tell
heart.
Me about Donald Glover just quickly because most TV shows, you get the idea that there's an idea for a show and then there's five different people that come in and change it and change it and change it and rewrite it and change it. By the time you're done, it means nothing to anyone. Your show seems to have a singular voice, and it seems to be his.
Yeah, and let me tell you something. This experience, for this to be my first foray in as a lead of a television show, this cast and the crew and the ADs and even people at craft service, we love each other. It's a family unit, and Donald is always a part of it. Donald is always there. Donald is with us. Donald is on set. Even when he's not supposed to be on, he's there. You know what I mean? And it's just, it makes you want to go and be free and play. Like, I always said every day, I'm not going to work. I'm going to go play with my friends. And it really is that. I loved getting up every day and going on set to be with hair and makeup and costumes. Like, and
get those tight polo shirts.
I mean, you know, polo. I was like, oh, great, stuff Brian would never wear. It's fantastic. I don't have to worry about that. I can have my own sense of style because Alfred, Jesus Christ. But, yeah, it's a family. We really, really love each other, and we talk every day. We talk every day to each other. We started a group text thread that we are constantly being petty on with each other.
Yeah, so, I like it.
So, you know, we are always staying connected, and it was just the best. It was the best time. Now, I will say that Atlanta gets hot.
Yeah.
So you see me sweating in a scene, that's real.
That's real. You're not faking it.
You're a method actor when it comes
right,
to sweat.
Right, man. I'm serious about that, man. Like, let's get it in. Nobody can do it like me. Except for episode 4 when I come out the club. That's when they had to spray me down with a bottle. I was like, of course, of all days when I'm not sweating, I have to look the sweatiest.
Make you look wet, sure. Yeah.
I was like, this is the wackest. But
you got renewed fairly early for season 2, right?
Man, I can't believe it. I mean, I can't believe it, but I can't believe it. I was like, it was the same day that episode 3 was coming out.
That's crazy.
And I was like, that early. Oh, this is fantastic. What the hell are we going to do next? Like, what's going to happen? Like, what's going to happen?
Did FX call and go, I can't call it.
This one over here, man.
Yeah.
Kindred spirit,
right.
Man.
Hey, listen, we're out of time, Brian.
Sorry.
I know. We didn't even get a chance for Allie to audition to be your new best friend, which is what she wants more than anything in the world.
She's already there, man. I'm glad I'm sitting right next to Allie. Allie is the dopest.
All right, you guys exchange numbers. And you're in the group, apparently, now, Allie.
Hey, come on.
I'm in the group text?
Yeah, you can be a paper boy. Yeah, I call them paper stacks. You want to be a paper stack, part of the paper stack?
I feel like I should be top of the stack.
Hey! Yeah. I can't call it.
Wyatt, if you can't tell, we're not joking. We're obsessed with your show.
Oh,
we love your character.
I love it.
Please keep doing the great work. Atlanta on FX every Tuesday night at 10. Come back and see us anytime, sir. Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks, guys.
All right, we've got our K-Rock Halloween costume ball. It's this Friday night featuring the Red Hot Chili Peppers. If you would like to go, call now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play a game next.
Up for grabs right now, tickets to the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's Friday night at the Fonda, plus we'll throw in a digital copy of Sausage Party and a 55-inch TCL Smart TV. By the way, that night on Friday, start thinking about your costume if you're going, because $5,000 up for grabs in costume contest. Pretty good deal. We're going to give away tickets right now looking for Chili Peppers fans at 1-800-520-1067. This game is called Finish the Line.
You want to win the tickets, you must know the lyrics. Come on now, it's easy. You can win for cheesy. Finish the line, and you win this time.
Okay, win the tickets.
Finish the line, and you win this time.
Just finish the line.
Finish the line, and you win this time.
Okay, here we go.
Finish the line, and you win this time.
Ow!
If Harry Belafonte were dead, he literally would be turning over at his grave right now, having heard that. That is.
What if he's alive?
That is tragic. Then he probably killed him.
Okay.
All right, Kevin, the lines are full. How do you play this game?
We are going to play the first half of a line of a Red Hot Chili Peppers song. Now, this is a contest that Bean and I have said repeatedly we would never win because we're not good with lyrics. So we're going to play the first part of the line. Then when it stops, you have to give us the next line of the Red Hot Chili Peppers song.
Oh. Sounds easy enough until it's you on the phone, and then it's not. All right, who's our first contestant?
First up is Gary in Winnetka. Hi, Gary.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Giving away tickets for Friday night. You ready?
Yeah, probably not, but let's do it.
All right, finish the line. Hit me, you can't hit me.
Suck my kiss. Oh, gosh.
And then it goes.
Hang with this? I don't know.
Nope, it goes. Kiss me, people, hurt me.
All right, so Gary is a new. Let's see how Abby does in Santa Clarita, line two, play and finish the line. Hi, Abby.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Now, our theory has always been, we'll find out if we're right or not, that girls pay much more attention to lyrics than guys do. So you may have a little bit of an advantage here. Let's see.
Yeah, maybe. All right. But I'm a bit dyslexic, so let's see how this goes.
All right, good luck. Here's your line. The sun may rise in the east, at least it's settled
in a final location. God.
And then it goes.
And then it goes.
Then the next line is.
It's understood that Hollywood sells Californication.
All right, not so much for Abby. Let's try Beaumont and Hector, line three up next.
Hey, Hector.
Hey, what's up?
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How have you done so far on hold?
Pretty good, I guess. Not too sure.
Okay. All right.
I'm ready.
Here you go. The world I love, the tears I've dropped to be
part of the wave can't stop. Come and tell me if it's time to.
Oh.
Ever wonder if
it's all for you. Sorry.
So, but he sounded good.
He did. He sounded confident, too, right?
Aww. We are or are not playing the hardest game in the world.
Well, I mean, it's turning into that, yeah. Let's go to Brenda in Sun Valley. Sorry. Hi, Brenda.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Long time listener.
Thank you. We have faith in you.
Oh, God, I hope.
Okay.
I hope.
Good luck. Here's the first line, and you finish it. It's got a t-shirt that I wish you saw.
Side captain, Mr. Know-It-All. When I kiss you, girl,
I'll close your eyes and I'll kiss you, cuz with the birds I'll share.
Okay. What I'm sad about for Brenda and others is they called because they love this band, and now every time that song comes on, she's going to be sad. We've ruined scar tissue for her.
I'm not positive that's the case. I mean, maybe she'll be sad today. Hopefully. Let's go to Adam in Simi Valley.
Hopefully
only today. Okay. That's what I meant to say. Hey, Adam.
Good morning, party people.
Adam, we're in sudden death at this point. We were hoping to get several people to qualify for the tickets for Friday night, but now, because of the time, if you get it, you win, okay?
Fantastic.
Good luck. Good luck. Here you go. Black bandana, sweet Louisiana, robbing
on a bank in the state of Indiana. She's a rebel and a stunner. I'm from them with a break with a comma.
Come on, I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, you had the first line.
He got a couple of words. Oh. I'm sorry. Close.
Oh, Adam.
Wrong.
Close.
Take it easy, Bean.
Wow.
For a guy who couldn't do this contest, take it easy.
It's a rigged system.
Okay, let's try another one. See if we get ourselves a winner.
Gavin in Thousand Oaks, hi.
Hello, how are you doing?
Not well. We're in sudden death. We need you to take these tickets. Are you ready?
I think so.
Here you go. It's hard to believe it. There's
nobody out there. Hard to believe that I'm all alone.
Ladies and gentlemen. How about that? I'm all
alone. Nicely Not done. Only the Red Hot Chili Peppers Friday night at the, thank you, Allie, at the Fonda Theater. We'll throw in a digital copy of Sausage Party, and you've just won a 55-inch TCL Smart TV. Thank you for playing Finish the Line. Finish the line, and you win this time.
That was shoot across the. Well, it's 6.7.
Sure. Not even a little bit.
Come on. Terrible. Well, it's 6.7. K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
We have never been more underqualified or more undeserving to interview a person, as is coming up in the 8 o'clock hour when the great Ron Howard joins us in studio. I feel like we should all step out.
Are we sure it's him?
I don't know.
Well, right?
People claim it's the guy who's directing Inferno that's coming out on Friday.
Let me see if I've got this right, though. Bean, you think the option is that we all step out and then he's just on the mic by himself?
Who's worthy among us of interviewing Ron Howard?
Oh, none.
Not me. Certainly not me.
No, no. Zero people.
All right. I mean, Allie, are you?
I could spit some happy days.
That's what we're looking for.
I think that's what we want.
Right? I'm sure that's what he's here to promote.
I think so.
Listen, my first question is going to be, I mean, Scott Baio, we saw it coming when he burned down Al's, right? Who's with me?
That's not going to be your first question,
no,
though.
No.
No.
Ron Howard joins us in the studio coming up next on K-Rock. First, though, time for the showbiz beat. In for Ralph, here's Allie McKay.
You guys, the ratings of The Walking Dead. Good Lord.
Well, it's a popular show.
But this, I mean, come on. The Walking Dead Season 7 premiere drew... Okay. Is it a breaking news bulletin? I feel like it might be.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
Thank you. The Walking Dead Season 7 premiere drew... Okay. I wanted the drums again. I should have... Okay. Drew 17 million total viewers.
Yeah.
And an 8.4 rating.
Yay!
Yeah. That is just shy of the series record, which was 17.3 million set in the Season 5 opener. Good God.
Just so you guys
I wish my brothers were alive to see this.
I know, Dorothy.
They're just all dead now.
I know.
Just so you guys know, a big hit on TV is 8, 9, 10 million,
tops,
right?
Tops, yeah.
People 17.
People get a 3 and they're celebrating.
Woo!
17 million total viewers and an 8.4 rating in the coveted 18 to 49 demo. I mean, it's obscene. It's obscene how good that show does in the ratings.
And Allie, nothing about that makes you think, you know what? Maybe I've been wrong. Maybe I should check it out.
Still zombies?
I could not have loved the character of Glenn Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert. Sorry.
What?
But I thought that was great because a show is always the worse the villain, the better the show is.
Yeah.
So I thought it was great.
I know it's easy to paint it with a broad brush. Oh, it's zombies, so it's dumb. But it's really not about zombies. It's about the reaction of the people to the post-apocalyptic world that they live in and how they try to restart civilization. Basically, that's what it's about.
Hey, B.
Yeah.
You and I love it.
Uh huh.
Sorry, the Valley doesn't.
Well, I feel like she's missing out.
Okay.
Okay. Have you guys watched my favorite show, Peaky Blinders?
No.
Okay. Then until you do, let's have a conversation then.
I think we're all right the way we are.
I think that will be half past never. Hey, you guys know when Jimmy Kimmel has celebrities on and he has them read mean tweets. It's some of the funniest stuff ever.
And I've asked him before if his writers write them, and he said no.
I've actually looked up when they have the real, like the full name. Sometimes they blur out the name.
Right.
But when they have the full name, I'll look the person up.
Oh, you will.
That person will be like, holy crap, they read my mean tweet. It's amazing. But last night, he had a pretty special guest on. He had President Barack Obama, who also read his own mean tweets.
Barack Obama is the Nickelback of presidents. Just found out my daughter shares a birthday with Obama. Puke. President Obama will go down as perhaps the worst president in the history of the United States! Exclamation point. At real Donald Trump. Well, at real Donald Trump. At least I will go down as a president.
And then he dropped the phone that he was reading it on. So that was his mic drop. He dropped the phone. It was some good stuff. You guys, Saturday Night Live had some of the best ratings that they've had in a very long time, due in part to Tom Hanks and Lady Gaga last week. In fact, it was SNL's highest overnight average for an October episode in 8 years.
Lady Gaga!
That is who was on as well. Good stuff.
I'm sure that had a lot to do with it, by the way. Lady Gaga's a musical guest, and obviously, America loves Tom Hanks.
Absolutely. I mean, those were two amazing guests to get together.
And I'm going to say something else, too. The success of the Alec Baldwin as Trump and, you know, the Hillary Clinton that Kate McKinnon's been doing. I mean, everybody's now looking forward to seeing after every debate what SNL is going to do with it. So I think that probably helped as well.
But what about Tom Hanks? He should do a new movie, right?
It's been too long.
It's like forever.
I believe Inferno's coming out on Friday. Kevin, did you do the research?
Howard's coming in in a few minutes.
Oh, I got to look some stuff up.
Yeah, Inferno. Kind of a huge deal. Good stuff.
I just wish my brothers were alive.
I know, Dorothy.
They're all dead.
You've mentioned that. If you're wanting to know who's on this weekend on SNL, well, it's going to be a rerun because they usually do two or three live shows, then take a break. This is going to be their break. But coming back, November 5th will be Benedict Cumberbatch with Solange Knowles.
Wow.
Nice,
that's a
right?
one-two punch that's right there.
I feel like, I'll just say it, SNL is the best it's been in a very long time recently.
It's a good season.
It's a good season. All right, let's cut the crap. Let's get to Ron Howard. Here's some birthdays today. TV host Samantha Bee is 47. Actor Adam Goldberg is 46. Red Hot Chili Peppers drummer Chad Smith is 55. Singer Ciara is 31. And actor Craig Robinson is 45. And singer Katy Perry.
Hey, Katy Perry, walk the moon. Hey, Katy Perry, walk the moon is standing right here. Katy, walk the moon. Mm-hmm. Katy Perry, walk the moon is standing right here.
We played with John Mayer last night.
Hey, you guys.
Imagine being Walk the Moon, who is standing right there. They're going, all right, we're not enough for Katy Perry to come over.
Well, she is turning 32 today. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Hi, I'm Ron Howard. I'm the director of...
She's a mermaid. All my life, I've been waiting for someone, and when I find her, she's a fish. Nobody said love's perfect.
The cocoons are endangered.
Let's just go bust them out.
This is the crew of the Apollo 13. Houston, we have a problem.
This fight's as good as murder. First punch he lands, you'll sleep forever.
You gotta beat this! You gotta beat this from the inside out!
Demons, omens, codes, monks, rags, rocks.
Madonna up the rocks.
Da Vinci.
Perhaps it is good to have a beautiful mind, but an even greater gift is to discover a beautiful heart.
Are you really saying the president can do something illegal?
I'm saying that when the president does it, that means it's not illegal.
I feel responsible for what happened.
Watching you win those races while I was fighting for my life, you were equally responsible for getting me back in the car.
Please welcome Ron Howard!
I can't even. Beloved actor, successful producer, Academy Award-winning director Ron Howard, ladies and gentlemen, joins us in studio right now on The Kevin and Bean Show. His new film is called Inferno, opening everywhere this Friday. How are you, Mr. Howard?
I'm great. That little intro, that was spectacular. That was somebody's got some taste in terms of getting through there and finding the right lines,
and
I'll tell you.
Moving through quickly?
We have to find that person.
His name is Omar. He's our production guy.
Okay, Omar.
He puts that together. When you hear clips of those older movies, what comes back to your mind? Is it like difficult times, great times?
Usually the pride, especially when you're picking good lines like Omar did.
Okay.
I don't go back and look at the movies. Each
Ever.
One, not too much. I mean, once in a while, if I'm doing something for a DVD retrospective look back or something like that. Yeah. But if I hit it on cable and watch it, I don't really get immersed because I lived with it so closely for so long, and I'm always so much into whatever it is that I'm dealing with
next.
But I always get a great feeling of satisfaction because, you know, highs, lows, you know, arguments, hugs, it's what I love. And so each one of these things has been kind of an adventure that I have great, you know, really fond memories from.
It's so interesting to hear you say that because whenever we are encountering tape of the old days of the Kevin and Bean Show, you know, we'll hear something from 10 years ago or 20 years ago. We can't hate it any more than we do because we feel like we would do so much better now.
Yeah.
Do you, as a director, I mean, you've got a lot of new tricks in your bag over the years. Do you look at those movies from 20 years ago? Man, I wish I had a shot at that again, or I wish I could have done it differently.
I do. If I'm really thinking about it, you know, I definitely will, wince a little here and there and wonder what the hell I was thinking. and technology is making it possible to really take audiences to places in exciting ways, you know, stylistically, emotionally, and I think you can get more of what is in a director's mind, field of, you know, mindscape, out onto the screen than ever before, even in live-action movies. Because of digital technology, because of smaller cameras, because actors are getting better and better, and audiences are more demanding than ever.
Yeah.
And that's great. It just raises the bar for everybody.
Do you have a best Ron Howard movie in your mind? One that you hope people will most remember you for?
I don't. I have a lot, as I said, a lot of love and affection and great memories around a number of them. I definitely think they're, you know, five or six that I'm probably the proudest of, but I never like to cite them because when I do with people, I always leave out the one that, in fact, there was something that really resonated with them. And that's the point, is, you know, you tell a story, you discover the themes, you get your collaborators together. I've been working with Brian Grazer all these years on, you know, on ideas and the essence of them. And you get these great actors and you give it everything you've got. And hopefully, you know, it's never going to work for everybody. No movie ever does.
Right.
No TV show ever does. But for the people that it does work for, hopefully it really lands and means something to them.
I mean, you won the Oscar for A Beautiful Mind. Does that stand out as just...
No, that was huge. That was an amazing moment, you know, and I'm incredibly proud. Look, giving awards for, you know, creative endeavors, TV shows, movies, some music, and it's, you know, it's dicey.
Yeah,
it's great for the business, and it's a great tradition. And I really, and so the Academy Awards have been with us, you know, all my life. I remember the first time that I was involved, I wasn't involved enough to actually be there, but I remember watching on television the movie The Music Man that I was in that was up for Best Picture and a lot of other things. I don't think it won anything. I remember being a little pissed off even then, age six. Damn.
It's really
mad. Nothing. 6-year-old?
Zero? Come on. Goose egg? We worked our butts off.
I want to talk, well, there's so many things we want to cover with you, Mr. Howard, while you're here in studio. The film Inferno, opening up this Friday everywhere, is your latest collaboration with Tom Hanks.
Yes.
Is Tom Hanks everything we want him to be? Because I feel like all we've ever seen of him, you know, even as most recently this past Saturday Night Live, you couldn't see a guy who's more talented or funnier or nicer or a better actor. Is he all of those things in real life too?
Well, have you guys had him in the studio?
We haven't.
No. Well, I mean, he would just not disappoint you. I mean, he's just he's a great guy. Now, you know, he's a lot of things. He's a really bright, complicated guy. He's got ambition, which is one of the reasons he's still working so hard and so well. I mean, did you guys see Sully, by the way?
Did.
I mean,
oh my God!
I know I'm here to plug Inferno.
I did,
but and I'm very proud of Inferno.
Bridge of Spies as well.
Yeah, but Sully is out. And that's another just great reminder of what a tremendous chameleon-like actor you know that he can be. And one of the things that I like the most about Inferno is, in fact, that the mystery this time, the Robert Langdon mystery, the Dan Brown, you know, clue path, and all that stuff that's so fun to work with that audiences really really enjoy. This time, Langdon is really a part of it. He doesn't quite know where he fits in. He's got this eidetic memory. He can remember everything, and which is what makes him so remarkable. But in this instance, he wakes up and he's not sure. He's just kind of lost a portion of his memory, and yet, you know, so he has to sort of regain that as he's moving through the clue path and trying to figure out, you know, where he is in the middle of this this mystery. And it's also, you know, it's just the whole thing is more personal this time for him.
Yeah, and, you know, we didn't read the book because reading is for losers, but my understanding is that this is a very different story in that there are people who are going to be rooting for the bad guy because he's making a lot of good points this time around, right?
Dan Brown is really brilliant. He's a little like Robert Langdon, you know, the character that Hanks plays. He manages to keep from getting himself in situations where he's going to get conked on the head and, you know, and shot at. But you know, has created a kind of an entertainment genre, which is take a controversial idea, a thought-provoking thing, build it into this mystery clue path, place it in these, you know, amazing locales around the world.
Beautiful.
That are in their own right, not only beautiful, but also kind of mysterious. They're things that you don't know about them. Mm-hmm. And let it all tumble together in, you know, as the book, it's a page turner. I hope the movies, you know, move along with that kind of pace. And I think Inferno, does more so. This time, it's of the moment because it's about somebody who's trying to launch a plague, to try to manage overpopulation.
Thanks, Ron. We didn't have enough to worry about.
Well, if you haven't thought about that one, then you're not a conspiracy theorist like some of us
are.
I have.
Now, the first one is The Da Vinci Code, Second Angels and Demons, both great. Are you a fan of that kind of writing or of that author before you take it on as a movie, or do you just then start to devour it?
Well, I initially read Da Vinci Code as a movie possibility.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it came to us. It was not yet a huge juggernaut of a book.
Which it became. Right.
But it was already on its way to being a bestseller, and people could sort of sense there was a really interesting way of really transporting audiences and entertaining them in a lot of different ways.
Right.
And like Dan told me that one of the reasons that his books sell so well is that they sell in different parts of the bookstore. People, they,
what does that mean?
Well, they sell in the mystery thriller area.
Okay.
They sell in history. They sell in sometimes in religion with Da Vinci Code or conspiracy, you know, whatever.
See, for me, it would be self-help. I'd be like, this is all about conspiracies. That's my thing.
Well,
self-help.
So the fact is, he's kind of come up with this unusual blend of entertainment values.
Yeah.
And then it's, of course, when you make these movies, you're trying to, you get to go to these places and you're taking the audience there too, and hopefully in an exciting cinematic way.
Do you get any kind of pushback from people when you deal with controversial issues like climate change or religion, things like that? Do you hear from moviegoers who are ticked off at whatever your take is or whatever the characters do in the movie?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and again, I think this controversy is something that everyone relates to a little bit more. Where in the past they've sort of been involved with religion and history and mm-hmm. conspiracies that are ancient, and and in many ways therefore even more provocative.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a much more modern kind of crisis, and as a director, it allowed me to approach this movie in a more contemporary, I think, kind of edgier way, and also because the history element is not about a controversy in the past, but it's about Dante Alighieri, who wrote the Divine Comedy, which includes the Inferno, which was the first time that he basically defined for Western culture what hell might be like, and then Botticelli painted it, and this sort of began the whole idea of what going to hell could actually be and feel like, and he wrote about it in such detail. So he was not only sort of this amazing, transformative philosopher, but as I read it, I realized, well, he's inventing the modern horror genre, because almost every one of these punishments for the sinners is like a cool thing that we've seen in a movie mm-hmm. that we like.
Yep.
And so while we're PG-13, but Langdon is searching Dante clues, Inferno clues, thinking in hellish ways, trying to discover where he fits in and what the problem is, and try to do something about it. So that allowed me as a director to kind of apply some of these images. So, hey, around Halloween, it actually
it's good timing.
There's a little something for
but
the
Dante,
Halloween.
He left out Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton from his vision of hell. So clearly he didn't see everything coming, right? All right, Ron Howard is here. The film is called Inferno. It opens everywhere this Friday. It looks fantastic, like he do, and we'll have more with our guest right after this on K-Rock. Right now, actor, producer, director Ron Howard in studio with us. Yes. Do not adjust your radio. You heard correctly. Ron Howard is in studio with us right now on The Kevin and Bean Show. His new film is called Inferno. It opens up in theaters everywhere this Friday, based on the novel by Dan Brown, of course, starring the great Tom Hanks. The beautiful Felicity Jones is in this movie. Great cast. Ben Foster. Great cast. I mean, I guess that's one of the luxuries of your track record, Ron, and your reputation is that a lot of great actors want to work with you, right?
Well, they know I love them. I began as an actor, and I try to create an environment where they can, they can do their best work. These are interesting characters, especially this movie, where the relationships and the emotional side of it actually factors into the plot more probably than the previous two. And that may be one of the reasons why I think audiences find the movie even a little more suspenseful and tense. But and it's always interesting for me as an American, because these are really international movies.
Right.
Ben Foster's American. The character wasn't written to be American in the book, but I just had a chance to work with Ben Foster. I thought, he'd be great in the role, and he killed it. But usually Hanks is the only American in there. And so we have Omar Sy, Frenchman. We have Irfan Khan, great international star from India. You've seen him in Life of Pi and Slumdog Millionaire and other movies.
And you do that on purpose?
Definitely.
Because of?
Well, it's the nature of the book.
Yeah.
And these are global stories. And
where did you get to film this time?
We filmed a little bit in Istanbul, quite a bit in Venice. And then we were in Florence a lot, and then we also Budapest is not a city in the movie, but it's a great European film center, and so we just went there because they had great studios and other things.
When you're walking around on the streets of Istanbul, do you get recognized?
Well, only if there's some Americans floating around.
Really?
Happy Days wasn't big in Turkey?
He doesn't look like he did in Happy Days.
Yes, he does.
I think
Who are you kidding?
I think it was there, but I just don't think it's still in syndication like it is here.
Oh, I see. I gotcha.
It's amazing with the Andy Griffith Show and Happy Days when I see that they're still on daily. Italy They recognize me because because of Henry as Fonz, Arthur Fonzarelli.
He's
a national hero over there still.
He's a national hero everywhere.
A nice Jewish guy from New York, but to them, and there I'm not Richie. I'm Ricky. Ricky Cunningham. Ricky. Come this way.
Because you were dubbed. Because you were overdubbed on the episodes. Right?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
You spent 15 years of your life as a young person on television.
Yeah.
And then you didn't walk away from acting, but you certainly scaled way back. Do you ever miss it, Ron?
Well, every once in a while, when the pressure's on, you're shooting outdoors, you're shooting in one of these intense locations with a lot of extras, a lot of variables that you can't control, and then suddenly the clouds boil up, and the assistant director and everybody's saying, okay, it looks like it's going to storm, what should we be shooting? Well, should we just get it going? And suddenly, you know, your mind is spinning, and the actors turn around and go off to the dressing rooms, and I sometimes think, man, if I just got myself a good hairpiece, I might be able to be in their shoes right about now.
You don't have to worry about all those questions.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
You starred in one of my 10 favorite movies of all time, American Graffiti, a movie that I still probably watch once a year. I love it so much.
You.
It's George Lucas directed. And the only reason I bring it up now is to ask, is it true, a rumor that I heard, that at one point George Lucas came to you about directing a Star Wars movie?
Well, he mentioned it in passing when I was doing Willow, which he produced, and it was for his company. And at that time, he felt like that digital technology was just beginning to take shape. And he said, you know, in a few years, I think I'm finally going to be able to get my vision of what the Star Wars universe, what the galaxy is all about, and I'm going to want to make three more. And he said, I'd kind of like you to do one and Steven Spielberg to do one and Bob Zemeckis to do one. What do you think?
That's pretty good company.
I think we all said the same thing, which is, George, no one wants to follow your act. You should do them. And he did direct them.
Was there a part of you that was screaming yes, yes, yes?
Well,
not or just too much pressure.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure. And by that time, I was really involved in Imagine Entertainment and really committed to that.
Ron, you have the opportunity. I mean, you're the top of almost anyone's list to get a director on board. There must be projects that you looked at and didn't get it or didn't see it and you passed on it, and then a great movie came out of it from somebody else and you kind of regretted it.
A few. Not too many, but
you got a pretty good track record of being able to pick the right ones. Huh?
Yeah, but I mean, it's always a frustration, but that is a great part about being with a company like Imagine, because some of our movies began as things that I was considering directing, and for scheduling reasons or something else, I didn't wind up directing them, and they wound up being, you know, good movies that our company got to make. But sure, you know, there've been some good ones that got away. I had a good look at a good long look and think about Field of Dreams, which is a movie that I just love.
Is that right?
Yeah. Love that movie, and I didn't wind up doing that. But Phil Robinson did a brilliant job.
It did all right.
Yeah, he did a great job. I mean, it's a classic.
It's an okay movie. Yeah. If that's what you're talking about. Yeah.
You know, you look over your resume and you've worked with everybody, it seems like. You know, everybody from Russell Crowe to Jay-Z. I mean, is there somebody out there that's still on your wish list that you can't wait to get in a film?
Look, there are so many talented people and from various generations. I'm kind of in the middle there, but there's some pretty amazing people in their 20s and 30s, men and women, who are just doing great, great work. And it's one thing you see them in the superhero movies. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, they're great. But you know, I would love to find, you know, the sort of Frost Nixon or Beautiful Mind that would work in that way. Like, I love the movie, you know, American Hustle, for that reason. You know, just great young cast.
Have you heard of this young Bryce, I think is her name, Bryce Dallas Howard?
She's pretty good.
Very big. She's in Black Mirror right now.
Boy, that is unbelievable in Black Mirror. I'm very proud of my daughter, Bryce. She's doing great.
That's his daughter, for those of you that don't know.
And she's also directing too when she can. And also, you know, she's a great mom.
How terrifying was it to have a daughter want to go into show business, knowing what you know about show business?
Well, it would have been something I would have tried to discourage. I didn't, certainly never encouraged it.
Right.
But for Bryce, two things. One, I could see early on that what she loved was the right thing. She loved she loved the process. Mm. Whether it was the school play, she loved rehearsal. She ran to rehearsal. She would work on it on her own, you know. And so it's a that's a lot different from somebody who dreams of the red carpet and flash
in it for the right reasons.
In it for the right reasons. So I felt like that would be, the, you know, and then you know, she even as a kid in you know junior high and high school, it was a little bit like going to a high school basketball game and seeing somebody that you know could get drafted into the NBA. You know, I mean, she just always has had that, and she loves it. She really loves it for the right reason. I did not realize, even though I grew up in it, I think of myself as very sort of level pro woman, you know, and all of it, sensitive to all the issues. I had no idea how much tougher the business actually is on women than men to excel and to
the whole time you were in show business, you didn't realize that.
I didn't realize
that until
I could see her navigating her career without any great traumas or anything. But I could just see that, man, it's there's an extra measure of work entailed, and expectations are different, you know.
Interesting. Well, you sound like a proud papa. And I am. Well deserved.
Well, I'm happy for her, you know. And by the way, the Black Mirror is it's stunning. It's disturbing. I watched it with her, and you know, it's not because there's any nudity or anything, but I mean, it's bizarre to sit there next to your daughter, smiling, happy, watching this thing, and she's put and this story. It's, you know, it's kind of comical in times. It's kind of a black comedy, brilliantly directed by Joe Wright. But it's intense, and those Black Mirrors are intense, and they're cool. I'm very proud of her, yeah.
Rod Howard is here. We got time for one more segment when we return. The film, by the way, is called Inferno. We'll talk some more about that, along with a bunch of other stuff. The film's coming out on Friday. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Ron Howard, you dressing up for Halloween this year?
Oh, man.
It's Monday.
It's Monday, yeah. Probably. Now that you mention it.
I can see that you put a lot of thought into it.
Jock strap and a cowboy hat, does that work?
Wow. That's not where I thought it would go.
It'll work. I'll have to change mine then, but okay. That's fine.
Ron Howard is our guest. His new film is called Inferno, in theaters everywhere this Friday. You love the Angels and Demons, and you love the Da Vinci Code. Now go see Inferno. Your star, Tom Hanks, hosted SNL this weekend.
Yes, he did.
And you knew I had to ask about this. He comes out and he's playing a character who hosts a pet video show.
Right.
You know, bloopers of cats and things like that. But for some unexplained reason, he's playing you, Ron Howard, hosting the show. It makes no sense, but here's a little bit of what that sounded like.
Hey, it's me, it's Ron Howard. How cool is that? I know you're probably asking yourself, why the heck am I hosting a pet blooper show? Well, it's simple. Pet bloopers just make me giggle. You know, I can use a good laugh after working all day. Well, after like, Tom Hanks, I love Tom Hanks, but what a pain in the ass. Okay, all right.
Now, he heard that from somewhere, Ron. What happened there? What's the story?
I really don't know. Look, Tom is a multifaceted, talented guy. I don't think he could make a living as an impressionist.
Did you know that was coming, Saturday?
Yeah, I did. Because every once in a while he breaks that out on a talk show or does it on the set. And he warned me. He said, brace yourself. I'm determined to do an entire sketch as you. And so I thought it was flattering and funny, and as he was in that whole show. But once in a while, I will now find myself, because he is picking up on some things I naturally do.
Right
like
there?
I'm waving,
like
right now I'm talking with my hands.
Right.
I will find myself giving him a direction, particularly at a moment where I'm kind of excited or trying to maybe having a breakthrough with the scene or there's some pressure, time pressure or whatever. And I'm sure my voice goes up and my hands are moving. But I now find myself exaggerating it a little bit. And for some – intuitively, I'm doing – him doing me.
You're doing an impression
talking
of him.
To him.
Yes.
And it's a really – talk about Black Mirror. I mean,
he's
like
messing you up.
He's a great,
Ron,
great guy. Great
imagine friend. The balls Ron Howard has to have to tell – to give Tom Hanks notes, to tell Tom Hanks how to act. I mean, seriously.
Well, you don't have to tell him much, let's be honest. But when you bring Tom in, you're getting a great collaborator. He's a world-class writer. He's an award-winning producer. He's a director of talent and of course, great actor. But above all, and I learned this very, very early on in my directing career and even acting, working with greats like, you know, John Wayne or Jimmy Stewart, The best actors want to be directed. They're there to solve the scene. They want to maximize it. It's not about making it easier.
So it's not just leave me alone, I'm doing my thing.
No, it's work ethic. And in the way, when you hear about the great athletes training and they outwork everybody, so do the finest screen actors.
Why does that happen? I always wondered that because, you know, Kobe Bryant, for example, with the Lakers, he would practice more than everybody else. And I would always think, why wouldn't everybody else see that and realize that they need to be out there practicing more? It just doesn't translate, though, does
it? There's just a, you know, there's a fire in the belly and a belief that that will pay off. You know, if you're whatever you're doing that's not fun but is for a purpose, you know, you have to actually believe it. You know, it means something.
Is Tom Hanks a guarantee for you, and are you a guarantee for him as far as working together?
No, I mean, there have been projects I've brought to Tom and projects Tom's company and you know, have brought to me where we just didn't feel that it fit. In fact, we're not under contract
to do
the Dan Brown movies.
Okay.
So each and every time, it's a question of reading it, believing in the story that's in the book and its cinematic possibilities, getting it developed, getting a screenwriter. In this case, it was David Koepp who came in, and then evaluating it. You know, what does this mean as a movie? Because for me, you know, it's a year and a half of my life, and it's a big chunk of Tom's, and we're going to be out there talking about it and encouraging people to go.
So, and you don't even consider it a franchise, right? You look at each movie individually.
Yeah, we do. We do. Although, you know, and you know, it's so important to mention, I'm glad that you don't have to have seen the previous movies to know what's going on and follow this movie.
But you should.
Well,
if you
have, thank you. If you have, of course, what you really get to follow is, you know, like Indiana Jones or, a little bit Bond. It's a different tone and a different style, but you do get to follow this fantastic performance that Tom Hanks gives. He loves playing Robert Langdon.
Great.
You know,
does he love walking around with that hair when he's not filming?
He's got different hair in different Robert Langdon movies. We got chastised a little bit for the first little.
Let me ask you really quickly about conspiracies, because obviously this one, it might be something that could possibly happen. Mm-hmm. Do you ever delve into, say, the Alex Jones type of thing? Or do you just go, okay, that's too whacked?
Well, that's pretty out there. But no. I mean, the answer would be, I mean, I haven't that, the Alex Jones, mm-hmm. but I would, conspiracies are interesting. They're thought provoking. And if whatever the audience's position is, you know, they're being forced to kind of engage. Like, what do I think?
Right.
Nonsense mm-hmm. or that's really scary or what? And then you get to see characters interact with that. And then us and the audience get to say, well, oh, I'm with him. I'm mm-hmm. with her. I see it their way.
Yeah, you'll never be with Alex Jones.
No,
trust
okay.
me.
No.
It's pure comedy to watch. It's amazing.
By the way, who can trust Ron Howard when he was behind that hoax about man going into space, too, with that Apollo
right?
CBS movie?
Not positive. That was a fake.
You know, listen, we are told we have 1 minute left with the great Ron Howard here on the Kevin Amian Show, so I just want to say two things. One is everybody go see Inferno in theaters this Friday. It looks great. It looks excellent, as they all are. And secondly, how about a quick hit for your movie that's currently on Hulu, coming out on DVD in a few weeks, called 8 Days a Week, The Touring Years. This is the most recent project before Inferno. A labor of love for you, right, Ron?
Yeah, well, about the Beatles and only their touring years, which what I found in it, and it's only my second documentary, but I found that there's a really great adventure story there. It's almost a survival story. These young guys, they had to bond together in a particular way, and while they're going on this gauntlet, the 60s are happening, revolts, revolutions, they get sucked into the center of it. So it's not only about being the most popular, you know, band ever. It's also about navigating those particular times, and you learn a lot about the guys. And we had the good fortune of being able to interview, Paul and Ringo, and I think their perspective on it is very interesting.
It's a fascinating documentary.
Yeah,
you
thank
guys.
You. Please, I really learned a lot making it. Thank you.
And now you're friends with Paul McCartney, right?
Well, friends. I think he'd nod in my direction if I saw him. they were very happy with the project, which of course meant the world to me.
Well, it's excellent work, Ron. What a thrill to have you on the show. All these years, we've been such fans of yours. It's so nice to finally get a chance to sit down. Please come back and see us again, won't you?
We'll do. Thank you.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54. One thing, real quick. Somebody just tweeted that they were glad to hear that Ron Howard, as successful as he is and has mm-hmm. been, was not pompous.
At all.
Well, he's the nicest guy in the world.
And I want to say the same. Nicest guy
down to earth
ever.
Humble.
Everything
yeah.
you'd hope he would be.
Yes.
He surpassed that.
That guy is so successful. And he didn't look at us like we were less than him, even 1%, and he should have.
Yeah. He should have. He would have been okay doing it.
He would have been correct.
Look, when you're impressive. When you're mother effing Opie from the Andy Griffith Show, you're allowed to be entitled. And he's right? not. So that just
is amazing.
I miss the Ron Howard times, I'll tell you that. I already miss those days.
But Kevin, honestly,
yes.
How proud were you that neither Bean nor I brought up Happy Days?
I was very happy.
Because we wanted to.
I know. I know you
real
did.
Bad.
Could have been a whole other hour on Happy Days.
We were under time constraints, and I'm happy that that didn't happen.
All right, listen, we got a lot coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, including Landon Donovan talking the LA Galaxy playoffs. That's starting this week. We also have more tickets for the Red Hot Chili Peppers for the K-Rock Halloween costume ball that you can win. But we're opening up the phones to you on any topic with Kevin and Bean's What's Good right now. So you can call us and be part of the show. We've been busy the last couple of days. We haven't had time for this. But we want you to call in with something that we're missing, something we're not talking about, questions, comments, concerns, problems. We want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin and Bean's What's Good coming up right after Allie takes a look in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
I feel like everything's coming up Tom Hanks lately.
Yes.
I mean, amazing stint on Saturday Night Live. It had the highest overnight average for an October episode in 8 years. That's pretty good stuff right
bad.
There. But I think what also helped out was the musical guest that night. Do you remember who it was?
I don't remember who it was. Do you?
I do. It was indeed Lady Gaga. So if you haven't had enough Lady Gaga, and let's be honest, none of us have. Tonight, she will be in the passenger seat for Carpool Karaoke on tonight's edition of CBS TV's The Late Late Show with James Corden. The kids love it. It's one of my favorite segments in late night ever. If you haven't seen it, basically he gets these huge stars in the car and they just drive around singing their own songs, other people's songs. Sometimes they make stops. They pick up George Clooney,
sure.
Julia Roberts, whoever. But I don't know who they're going to pick up tonight. I feel like Lady Gaga is enough sitting in that front seat. But they did release a little teaser. Here's a little bit with James Corden.
Gaga, ooh la la, watch out that romance.
You're about to go and do the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When you get the phone call saying you're going to do the Super Bowl, what goes through your mind?
Well, let's do it. Hello?
Hey, Gaga.
Hey, what's up?
It's Dave from the NFL.
Hi, Dave.
What are you doing early next year?
Oh, my gosh. Are you giving me the Super Bowl?
Yes. That is amazing that you even knew that from that small bit of information.
Lady Gaga! I don't think she'll make an appearance, that woman, because she sounds crazy.
I hope not.
But really looking forward to that tonight.
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this. They're all dead now.
Oh, Dorothy.
That's the 90-year-old Cubs fan.
Oh, good Lord. We're going to see her tonight, right? Or is the game in Cleveland?
That's a great question.
Oh, either way, I don't have to watch. Woohoo!
Oh, come on.
I'm released.
All right. I feel like it's in Cleveland.
Okay.
I don't know.
You don't think Dorothy travels well?
Oh. No.
She's pretty old.
Yeah, she's pretty old.
I just hope she lives long enough to see the end
again,
of this series.
Oh, Bean, for the love of God.
You got to be concerned. You know, her heart could give out just from the sheer excitement of her Cubbies being in the World Series.
Do the Cubs bring back Scottie Pippen?
They have to.
They got to, right?
Take me out to the ball game.
Oh, God.
Take me out to the ball.
What?
Huh? I don't care if I'm...
Just mumble.
Never come back, or it's root for the Cubbies. Yeah! Don't win, it's a shame.
Big finish.
Why is 1, 2, 3 strikes you're out at the ball game. Let's go, Cubbies!
Wow. A lot of people in baseball are superstitious. Was that not Game 5 against the series?
No, it was Game
6.
Dodgers?
I don't know.
Game 6.
Okay,
yeah. Game 6. So that's the one that they clinched to go to the World Series. I think you got
to
bring him back for good luck, don't you?
Absolutely.
Please bring him back.
Absolutely.
That would be the best.
Oh, man. So good. I mean, there's nothing to top that, so let's just go to birthday. Samantha Bee is 47 today. Actor Adam Goldberg is 46. Actor Craig Robinson is 45. Chad Smith, the drummer for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, is 55. Singer Ciara is 31. And singer Katy Perry is 32. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the Showbiz Beat.
We're looking for you right now, toll-free at 1-800-520-1067. Is anything a toll anymore, or is everything toll-free? now that I say it and think about it out loud.
It's toll-free.
Pretty much everything, right?
Yeah.
1-800-520-1067. Time for Kevin Beans. What's good? Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we can be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
We're just talking about the World Series kicking off tonight in Cleveland, and that's what Nick is calling about from South Pasadena. He's on line three, and he's up first on this edition of Kevin and Beans. What's good?
Hey, Nick.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's good is this World Series. I'm looking at it a little differently than most people. This is the battle of the losers. It's the two losingest teams. They have the longest streaks of not winning the World Series, and it's not about who's going to win. It's about who's going to lose. This is for the title of the biggest loser. It's not like they're going up against the Yankees or the Dodgers or some storied franchise. Whoever wins is just going to be beating the other biggest loser. So I'm very excited about this because I'm a Dodger fan, and I'm just rooting for the Cubs to lose. We all know big, fat, beer-drinking guys from Cleveland and from Chicago. They're all out here, and it's just going to be great to stick it to them once their teams lose. And I'm looking forward to seeing who loses.
All right. Nick has a lot of thoughts. So to recap, Cleveland hasn't won a World Series in almost 70 years. The Cubs have not won a World Series in over 100 years. So you're right. You wait this long to have a shot to win another one. It's going to hurt a lot.
And then you're in the World Series and someone is going to lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's,
but I feel like, Nick, as a Dodgers fan, maybe we could take a step back
from smack talking
the
Cubs.
Hey, you know, maybe these teams are in it.
Well, my prediction is that the Cubs are going to win, but on the way back from Cleveland after winning, their team plane's going to go down.
Oh, okay. Right.
Don't even put that out to the universe. That's horrible.
All right. Hang up on yourself. Let's go to Justin.
Just
line two.
Go, Nick.
He's in Pasadena as well, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Justin.
Morning, fellas. Allie, this one's actually for you.
Uh-oh.
Woke up early, taking the girlfriend to the airport, doing the good boyfriend thing.
Yeah.
Of course, you guys go to commercial. So I get stuck listening to Ryan Seacrest, and what comes on but some nonsense about, hey, let's get this dude in trouble. Let's have him send roses to some other girl.
They're not still doing that.
They are still doing that.
The War of the Roses or whatever they call it. They're still doing that bit?
It's fake.
The thing about that is it's 100% fake. You can, like, we could do that if we paid the company to do it.
Yeah, they're all actors. None of them are real people. You know that, right, Justin?
Well, why do all the women afterwards then crucify the men? Because now I have 45 minutes of sitting in the car.
Look
about, can you believe this? And then to add insult to injury, they put on Justin Bieber right after.
Look.
I wanted to kill myself and you guys for putting on a commercial. Don't put on a commercial.
Look, unfortunately, it sort of does happen. If one guy's an idiot, your girl will look at you like you're an idiot as well. That's just sort of part of being a guy.
But the flip side of that is also true, by the way. There are guys who automatically assume all girls are fill in the blank, whatever negative experience they've had with a girl. You
crazy.
Know what I mean? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We do tend
it's like crazy.
To. Okay, crazy.
Yeah. Crazy.
Well, because all girls are crazy.
We do all
That's
tend to extrapolate.
That, right?
But thank you for the call, and I hope you've learned your lesson about not listening to freaking Seacrest, all right?
Yeah, I feel like just turn down the radio for a few minutes. Come back to Kevin and Bean.
Let's try Eric Montebello. Line one, please. Up next, I think he may have some very good news for us.
Good.
What's good, Eric?
I know you guys, I know Kevin and Bean remember Gunther.
I love Gunther.
Yeah, everybody does. But I don't know if Allie does. And if, Allie, you don't know, your mind is about to be blown. Is that good terminology?
I am looking forward to it.
Sure. All right, let me preface whatever you're going to tell us by just a taste of Gunther. When he was introduced to us many years ago, it was with a Christmas song, I think, called the Ding Dong Song. It went a little something like this.
Oh, you touch my ta-la-la. My ding-ding-dong.
Right?
Yeah, he was like Psy with Gangnam Style before him.
So we fell very deeply in love with him. We had him on the show. Now, what are you calling to tell us in 2016 is new with Gunther?
Well, he actually has a new song, and it's called No Pantalones.
What? He has a new song?
Yeah, I mean, it's not new. It's new to me. I mean, I can't believe it hasn't blown up yet and hit the charts and at number one because this song is amazing. The music video is even better. But the song, the beginning of it, I don't know if you guys can even play the beginning of it.
Well, we do have an edited version of it.
Oh. Okay, yeah, because you're going to need it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's hear a little bit. And thank you to Eric for letting us know. Gunther is back. A little bit of No Pantalones.
What the f***? Let's do like Donald Duck. Let's go locos. Todo bananos. Arriba vamos con nuestras manos.
Let's go locos.
Evolved as an artist much.
I love it just like it is. Eric, you're the best. Thank you for calling and updating us on that. We appreciate it.
Oh, man.
No problem.
Thank you for the call.
What's good?
Congratulations to Nicholas Schwartz from Walnut, listening to Kevin and Bean Show here this morning, and he just picked up tickets for the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball featuring the Red, the Hot, the Chili, and the Peppers, all performing Friday night at the Fonda Theater, plus VIP access to the private rooftop party. By the way, if you're lucky enough to get tickets for that, there's a costume contest. They're giving away $5,000 to the best costume and a 65-inch 4K TCL Smart TV.
All right.
65 inches. All right. Before we go to Landon Donovan on the phone, do you think his TV is 65 inches, bigger than that, or smaller than that in his house?
Oh, bigger.
In his house, I'd say.
For sure.
I'd say bigger.
I feel like if you could get a if you could swing a bigger TV, you'd get a bigger TV,
I think,
right?
So.
So you're thinking like 80 or something for Landon?
Say 80 or 100.
Yeah, maybe a whole wall.
All right. Let's find out. Landon, what do you got going on there with the AV equipment in the Donovan household?
53 inches.
53, oh. Kevin, you were wrong.
Wow.
That's a little disappointing, Landon.
No offense.
I'm a humble man, guys. I'm a humble man.
How close do you have to sit to that tiny little stamp-sized TV to even watch it?
All right, so I probably would have a bigger one, but now that we have a child, I don't want him watching TVs and screens and all this, so we try to minimize as much as we can.
I keep reading, by the way.
That's a great answer to go with the kid defense. It really is, because it works.
I keep reading that you're not supposed to let your kids look at any screens until they're what, like two or three or something like that? Is that what doctors are saying now?
Yeah, that's what they say now. I mean, it's crazy. The stuff's like, it's like heroin to these kids. They look at it, and they're just fixated on it. And I don't know what it is, if it's the colors or the movement or whatever, but they can't help it. It's crazy.
But it makes parenting so much easier if they're just on their iPad, right?
Well, I'll tell you, the beautiful thing is when you take them on a plane. Then you give them the iPad and you really go fun. Crazy.
Listen, on some of the drives that we take, we're really close to saying, here, just put a stupid screen in front of it.
Yeah, you're tempted.
It's crying and screaming, but you got to try your best.
You will soon, my friend.
You'll break. Landon Donovan is on the phone because, hey, it's playoff soccer time, and that means it's time for the Galaxy to go for another title. They're going to be in action tomorrow night versus Real Salt Lake. That is going to be at the StubHub Center. You can watch that one live on TV, but why not go in person and be there at LAGalaxy.com? Tickets start at just $25. Kevin, you're going to be at that game, right?
I am going to be there. Landon, I wanted to ask you, because you put out a statement saying talking about coming back to soccer. It's been harder than I thought. I don't know. As an athlete, you think you're great, and you think you can step right in, but it makes you realize how fit all these guys are. How much of a problem has it been for you coming back?
Well, I wouldn't say a problem. It's just challenging. You know, you think I was playing tennis and working out a little here and there, but you realize not only are these guys that fit, but they do it effortlessly, and you forget what kind of shape you're in, and it just makes you appreciate not only soccer, but all sports. I mean, I think we forget what incredible shape athletes are in. So it's taken me a lot of hard work and some time to get back to fitness.
Now, you came back to start in Houston when it was 90 degrees a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that was.
How did that go for you?
That felt good, right?
I had a few moments that day where I wondered what the hell I was doing playing soccer again.
Do you find yourself completely out of breath and a little dizzy and not sure what you're supposed to be doing?
Yeah, the biggest thing with soccer, because it's an anaerobic sport, is you sprint and then you got to recover. And so when you're playing in that kind of temperature with that kind of humidity, you sprint and normally you'd recover within a few seconds, be ready to go again. It took me like 45 seconds to a minute every time. And then you're thinking, well, if I make this next run, it's going to take me forever to recover. So just miserable, but, you know, we got through it somehow.
Let me ask you a question about the last game you guys played. It was against FC Dallas, and you didn't have Robbie Keane and Giovanni Dos Santos and some of the other main players. But you tied. Ties in soccer suck. Right? Is that your question, Kevin?
I mean, right.
You know, that's a heck, that's
how
a
do you feel
question,
as
Kevin.
A player about ties?
You know what? We just had an idea. We were actually sitting and talking about it. What if, you know how the NHL does this whole 3v3? Is it 3v3
now? It's 3v3 now. Yeah, that's right. 3v3.
Yeah,
it's great.
It's so exciting. And then they do the shootout, right?
Yep.
So I always thought in games that matter, you, at start of overtime, you take off one player on each team, and every 5 minutes, you got to sub off one player from each team. So eventually, it's like, you know, 5v5. And wouldn't that be exciting?
It would.
Slot twist.
Or
add extra balls.
Yeah, what if you give
extra balls.
Give each coach a ball that's live.
Yes.
I mean, you can't make it too gimmicky. You know?
I don't believe
be
you can.
Strategy. And or you could, in the regular season, for a tie, we were saying, because you get 3 points for a win and one for a tie. You could give, like they do in hockey, you could give an extra point to the team that wins the penalty kick shootout. The
but
fans would like that, right? That'd be fun to watch.
I think the fans would like that, but mm-hmm. I think in hockey, it you know, it favors the goalie, and in soccer, it favors the shooter, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, being a shooter, you're fine with
me. I'm not a goalie.
We are talking to Landon Donovan about the 2016 LA Galaxy playoffs, Western Conference knockout round. Now, those are terrifying words. When you show up for work tomorrow night, it could all be over, Landon. How do you not let that get in your head that, look, all games are important, they all count, but this one means everything?
Well, we have a veteran team, some would say old team, but we have a group of guys that know what that means, and so when you play in a game like this, you do approach it differently. And I think if you're younger, you approach it with some anxiety, but we approach it with more urgency. So I actually think it's a really good thing for us, and I have no question we'll be ready to play.
And are you starting tomorrow night?
TBD. Can you talk to Bruce for me?
Put it on board. Really. Bruce doesn't really take my calls.
Landon, do you want to start tomorrow night?
I do. I feel great. I feel ready. I was able to play a full game on the weekend against Dallas, so I feel like I can contribute now in a real way, so I would like to.
It's going to be exciting. It's going to be at StubHub Center tomorrow night. You can still get tickets at lagalaxy.com. Just $25 starting out, by the way, to see the Galaxy continue. How many titles have the Galaxy won? Is it like three or something?
Five.
Is insane.
Come on,
sorry.
Bean, for God's sake.
Number six.
That's unbelievable. Yep. And this just shows you how competitive the league is. I mean, you look at a team like Portland that won it all last year, didn't even make the playoffs this year. I mean, every year you got to reprove yourself when you go out there, and that's what's great about sports, I guess.
Yeah, this league is full of parity. It's like the NFL. But if you think about five championships in 20 years, it's pretty impressive, right?
It is.
This organization does it right, and we're looking for number six.
All right. Good luck to you, my friend. I hope everybody goes out and supports you. LAGalaxy.com, and the game is going to be on tomorrow night, Galaxy versus Salt Lake. Thanks so much for coming on, man. We always enjoy it.
Thanks a lot, Kev. See you there.
Thanks, man.
Yep.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Come on, people. Allow it. How about get on board? Get on board the hate train.
Hey,
I don't think there's a hate train.
There isn't really.
Can I put on the K train? Can I put on put this plea out there for people who don't ordinarily do this? But let's say you are lucky enough to be one of those people who gets to wake up late. You know, you get up at like 9 a.m. and you turn on the radio and you get about your day listening to the final hour of the Kevin and Bean
lucky
show.
Lucky you, right?
And then you think, I probably didn't miss anything good again today. Usually that's true. But today, we had Ron Howard on the show.
Yeah.
And
so good.
Hollywood legend Ron Howard. And I want to make sure everybody knows that happened and encourage you to check out the Kevin and Bean podcast if you don't already usually do that. It's usually posts around 1 or 2 in the afternoon, but you should definitely check out today's show so you can hear that. And also, Allie's new boyfriend was on the show today.
Well, I mean, we're starting slow. He's just my best friend right now.
Brian Tyree Henry, who plays Paperboy on Atlanta, was also a great guest today. So two good reasons to check out the Kevin and Bean podcast. You can get it from iTunes. You can get it through krock.com or whatever, but check it out if you will.
Time for the show, Biz Beat. Here's Allie May. Did I say Allie May?
You did.
Allie McKay.
Want another shot at that?
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Allie McKay.
Thank you so much. We were talking about it. Every late night show kind of has their benchmarks. We enjoy, of course, the Late Late Show with James Corden. He does the carpool karaoke. Going to do it tonight with Lady Gaga. I think one of Jimmy Kimmel's benchmarks that everyone looks forward to is when he has celebrities read mean tweets. Because it shows, A, that they're real people, mm-hmm. and B, that some people write the dumbest tweets ever. And it's fascinating to see them react to it. And he did this again last night with his guest, who is just so happens to be the president of the United States.
Jimmy has gotten strangely comfortable hanging out with Barack Obama in the last 2 years. Because, you know, he hosted the, you know, the correspondence dinner. Mm-hmm. He's had him on the show a bunch of times. It just seems like they're just dudes hanging out now.
Yeah, it's a very
I feel like he's
going
to come over to Jimmy's house after the election.
I do, too.
You know I bet he will, right? Yeah.
And will we get invited? Of course not.
Probably not.
No, we shouldn't be.
Yeah. But if you're wondering how President Obama reacts to some of your tweets that you don't think he's seeing, Jimmy brings them to his attention.
Barack Obama is the Nickelback of presidents. Just found out my daughter shares a birthday with Obama. Puke. President Obama will go down as perhaps the worst president in the history of the United States! Exclamation point. At real Donald Trump. Well, at real Donald Trump. At least I will go down as a president.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, snap. And he dropped the phone that he was reading the tweet from. So that was his full mic drop moment.
By the way, Kevin, I know one day you plan to be president. You say you're going to be a great president.
Right.
You're going to make America great.
I didn't say that.
But wouldn't the last 3 months be the most fun time you ever have in your whole life where you don't care?
I wouldn't do any work.
Mm-mm. Yeah,
I mean, the whole
like President Obama.
The last 3 years especially.
No, last 3 months.
Really,
three years especially,
and then 3 months. I just go crazy.
I just feel like the president is just like whatever he feels like doing. He's just going around and just hanging out and, you know, TV stations right now. It's just so funny.
It's good stuff.
Like, he should still have a job, right? There must be still things for the president to do.
Right.
How does he have all this time for Kimmel?
Right.
Because he can.
Right.
Right.
So vote for me.
Vote for Kevin.
I think that's what we're saying,
mm-hmm. too. Okay. If you were thinking on Sunday night and even into Monday, wow, was everyone watching The Walking Dead? The answer is yes, because it premiered to 17 million total viewers. That's just shy of the series record, 17.3 million, that was set in season 5.
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this.
I know, Dorothy.
They're all dead now.
They are. And I'm sad for you for that. Oh, Dorothy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The game tonight, by the way, is in Cleveland, the opener. So we probably won't see Dorothy until it heads back to Wrigley.
But I won't see Dorothy at all.
You're not going to watch any
I'm
of it?
I'm so out.
What if I was
only doing my part for the Dodgers because I have a lot of friends that are Dodgers fans.
Sure.
I have no interest in the World Series.
Really?
Zero.
But
how are you going to celebrate tonight?
I probably have a Jägermeister.
Her I would party with.
I would definitely party with Dorothy. She's the greatest 90-year-old fan ever. Well, if you guys aren't busy today around 11:30, why don't you head down to Hollywood Boulevard, specifically 6712 Hollywood Boulevard. It is home to Pig and Whistle British Pub, and that is also where actor Hugh Laurie will be getting his star. Yes, his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Well deserved. I mean, between
absolutely
Golden Globe, SAG Awards, everything for House, the work he does on Veep alone. Mm-hmm. Good Lord, the man is just a treasure.
And what about the Night Manager?
Night Manager, he's incredible in the night. He's
so
terrifying
good.
In that.
Absolutely. And his best friend, who he has partnered in a bunch of BBC sketch shows in the 80s and 90s, Stephen Fry, will be speaking at the dedication. So, again, that's 11:30 this morning down in front of the Pig and Whistle British Pub at 6712 Hollywood Boulevard. And speaking of British people that are amazing, Benedict Cumberbatch will be hosting SNL, not this weekend, because they're going to take a little break, run a rerun this weekend. But on November 5th, Benedict Cumberbatch, along with musical guest Solange Knowles.
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this.
Me too, Dorothy.
They're all dead now.
They are. And I am sad still for you for that. A lot of stuff that a brother's really would be interested
they
in seeing.
They would have loved it.
A lot.
Yep.
This is a lot.
They're really interested.
I mean, you know, Dorothy's brothers were huge Solange fans.
They sure loved her. Absolutely.
Right.
I know. One thing I want to do before I die is go to Glastonbury.
Yes.
I want to go there. I want to wear wellies. I want mud. I want amazing bands.
I was
bands.
Just going to say, you have to want mud.
Absolutely.
There's always mud.
But here's the thing. They're going to be doing a three-peat at Glastonbury. Radiohead, 1997, 2003, and now they're going to be doing it in 2017. Their show is booked for Friday, June 23rd, 2017. They're going to headline next year's festival in the UK. No other performers have been named, but I mean, when you start with Radiohead.
Yeah, that's not bad.
You're going to be doing all right. You think Dorothy's brothers will...
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this. They're all dead now.
They are. Very sad stuff. All of these stars celebrating a birthday today. Actor Craig Robinson is 45. Adam Goldberg, 46. TV host Samantha Bee is 47. Red Hot Chili Peppers drummer Chad Smith is 55. And singer Katy Perry.
Hey, Katy Perry, walk the moon. Hey, Katy Perry, walk the moon is standing right here. Katy, walk the moon. Katy Perry, walk the moon is standing right here.
We played with John Mayer last night.
Hey, you guys.
That's my favorite part.
Hey,
you guys. Oh, man.
Hey, we're having fun, right?
Hey, everyone. I'm over here.
She is turning 32 today.
32D.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
Man.
It's like you can't get through a whole show without bringing up her boobs.
I don't know what happened. I'm sorry. That was an accident.
Agree, Rodney. Why? I'm just glad Dorothy's brothers aren't here to see
it. I am, too.
You know what I'm saying?
They're the lucky ones.
I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home at 5 p.m. on the world-famous K-Rock today. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Beer Mug Theater. We have comedian Adam Ray in studio. We have Ask the Mayor.
How about that?
Mayor Eric Garcetti will be in studio.
Wow.
We will have Ask the Mayor.
Do we have a new producer all of a sudden?
What's going on with Ron Howard today and the freaking mayor of Los Angeles tomorrow? What's happening here?
And we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Halloween costume ball as well tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.